There we go. All right. All right, call the meeting to order. I'd like to thank you all for joining us today, and I'd welcome you to the Arizona Barbering and Cosmetology Board meeting of November 18th, 2022. And invite you to join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, Heather will do roll call of board and then staff.
All right, for a roll call for the board members, we have Gary Bailey.
Here.
Marshall Knox.
Here.
Randy Flores.
Here.
Earl Nick Goodkin. Trista Guzman Glover.
Here.
Samuel LaVue.
Here.
Chase Turrentine.
Here.
All right, and then board staff members, Frank McGauley.
Present.
Kelly Shepard.
Here.
Bruce Funnell.
Here.
Rosa Rodriguez.
Here.
Heather Sanabria, myself, Betsy Long,
here.
Rosa Rodriguez,
here.
She's here. Okay, Helen Bordelon,
here.
Kelly Whitaker,
here.
Lisa Chavez,
here.
Keegan McConnell,
here.
Alexandra Hill,
here.
Kathy Bergeron,
here.
Ray Devine.
Here.
Lakeisha Coleman.
Here.
And Amelia Heredia, who's actually outside of the door. And then for legal counsel, we have Mona Vasquez.
Present.
Very nice. Very nice. Upgrading the message here. Smart. All right. So moving on. Now we're up to number three. There's a notation about being able to go into executive session to get legal advice if we need it. So you're aware of that. We'll move into discussion, consideration, possible action on the approval of the board minutes for July 15th, 2022.
Mr. Chair, we do have quorum to approve those minutes with your abstention and Nick's. Nick's not here, right?
So I'll make a motion to approve the minutes. I second.
Mr. Chair, so all in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, those pass. Now let's also look at the October 21, 2022 board minutes.
Make a motion to approve the October 2022 minutes.
Second, Marshall Knox.
Excellent. Motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Well, housekeeping done. Conflicts of interest. Do we have any today? Such a peaceful group. Nice. All right, so now we're up to the most important part of the meeting, welcoming the barbering and cosmetology students and instructors, which we actually have some today, which is awesome. So somebody tell us where you're all from.
Aveda Institute.
Aveda, very nice.
Sunrose Academy.
Another very nice place.
Video Academy.
Wow, we got all the all-stars here today. This is good. Well, thank you all for coming. We appreciate you supporting the board. We appreciate you taking time to learn how we operate and realizing we're not bad guys. We actually want you to succeed and we want to help you. We appreciate you. Normally, we would let you ask questions, but not today. All right, now we're going to move to the executive director's report.
No.
Mr. Bailey.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board. I'm excited to be here with you all, as always. It's been another eventful month here with board staff. Although my report is a little bit shorter this month than it was last month, there just wasn't quite as much going on this month, which is good and bad in some eyes. So for starters, I've got our financial update. As a friendly reminder, I do have a full copy of the summary financials available for each of you in the board files. as I discussed last month, we're going to do take a little bit different of approach in the report, the public report here with all of you today, or I should say within the meetings, just because there's some uniqueness in being state government and how we account for things, appropriation versus revenue versus expenses. So you'll see our October appropriation, which is actually for the full quarter of October, November, and December, is $744,848. Our revenue in conjunction with that for the month of October was $227,082, and our expenses were $164,220. So we did swap. I kept telling the board that we have a heavy expense, and we have a lot of expenses in the first quarter of the year, so we kind of looked red for that first quarter, but now we're actually, I think it's back green when I do all of the math at this point with this month's revenue being where it is. And our revenue historically is always more in the last quarter due to renewals and schools and now that we've added Barbara to the team, all of their establishment renewals happen in June. So we'll see a significant bump in revenue at the end of the year. Board membership, I was really hopeful to have some additional information for you this month on two additional appointments to the board. We do still have two vacancies for a barber professional and a cosmetology professional. We have not heard anything. I did, on October 25th, I sent a letter to Governor Ducey respectfully requesting the appointment of our remaining two industry experts to the board. As of this morning, I have not heard anything in response. There was an election in there somewhere, so I'm not really all that surprised by that. But I have put that out there to the governor's office that we need that to occur. So we'll see in the coming weeks, if anything comes from that. I did include a copy of that letter in the executive director's report file that you may wish to take a look at. From a staffing update, as we continue to assess the full organizational structure of this team, we are starting to understand that full picture, where gaps exist and what steps we can take to fill those gaps. The program project specialist that I have pointed out here on your slide will serve as a cross-functional support to the compliance, licensing, and customer service teams, and will actually report directly to Kelly Shepherd because of that cross-functional work that they're going to be doing. The position was posted and closed on November 4th, and interviews are scheduled to occur through the Monday after Thanksgiving, so basically over the next week. Additionally, we are taking steps to fully lay the foundation for a permanent customer service team. As you are aware, our customer service representatives have primarily been contractors through a temp agency. We've taken a deep dive into our call center data over the last 3 months, and we now have a full database understanding of what it will take to properly staff this team. Over the coming weeks, we will post two new customer service representative positions. Together with an existing member of our team, the customer service team will be fully staffed with three full-time equivalents. The creation of these positions will be budget neutral for us as an organization, as we are currently paying contractor fees and rates for the existing contractors that are doing that work. So we have also included, if you take a look at that full summary, we have adjusted the projections for the year to show that that salary will increase, salary and benefits will increase, but then the other purchase services line item will decrease as a result of that swap. So we're excited about that customer service team, calling them a customer service team, because ultimately that's what we're driving to, is providing world-class customer service to all the license holders of the state of Arizona. For your testing data, since we launched the written practical examinations on May 23rd, we have had 3,385 candidates test. This is absolutely incredible when you think about it. There is no way that this team, this organization, could have ever facilitated testing 1,000 candidates, let alone 3,300 candidates in 6 months. We are quickly approaching that six-month mark since we launched. That will be next week. And I'm going to put together for the December meeting a little bit more information for you from a data understanding of, you know, what it really means to the licensed population in the state of Arizona to have that written practical examination. I'm also really excited to share that we're down to 538 candidates that have scheduled their test to date. So that's the good news on that is that number, remember, was at like 2,500 when we started this in May, and it's down to 500. I do want to warn you, just to be completely transparent, that number will likely increase next month because of school graduations, December school graduations. And so we'll see more people scheduling their tests. But again, it's incumbent on them now. We know there's no approval process on our side. There's nothing like that. They go, they pay their fees, they schedule their tests, they take their tests, and will hopefully be successful. You can also see our pass rates. They've actually continued to on an uptick over the last couple of months, and they are increasing a percentage point or two each of the last couple of months. But I will give a much fuller picture presentation of that next month. I'm also really kind of intrigued by going to this written practical examination process and found some fun facts in the data that I wanted to share with the board this month. So because the individual schedules their tests themselves, it's been interesting to watch and see how far out the tests get scheduled. So right now, the latest test we have scheduled by an individual is May 17th of 2023. So they can schedule that far out, or they can even actually, the capacity items that I was concerned about in July have not come to fruition, and everything seems to be moving really fine. The other fun fact that I'll share with all of you today is that there are out-of-state licenses, because we went with a national organization to do the testing on our behalf. We have people in Anaheim, California, Dayton, Ohio, Los Angeles, Greenville, North Carolina, Honolulu, Hawaii, Las Vegas, South Bend, Indiana, Omaha, Topeka, and Worthington, Ohio, taking Arizona's test at wherever they currently live. So it's a really, it's an awesome dynamic to have that at this point. And I just thought it was interesting as I was reviewing the data this week. Our overall licensing update for you this month, we do remain current on all of our licensing functions, with the exception of that establishment licensing. And I will continue to say that we are slightly behind my desired outcome on this at this point, though it did decrease over the last month. So last month we were at 24 days, we're down to 21 days. As a result, I have left this item yellow, as we do continue to struggle with improving the turnaround time on these application requests. Since my last report to the board, we have met multiple times internally to discuss this topic. And what we have determined is that our hands are tied in a lot of cases, to a certain extent, I should say, with these applications. The existing administrative code for these licenses is labor intensive, but leaves us with very little wiggle room for adjusting those requirements. Acknowledging that our hands are tied, this week we have made a minor staffing adjustment to drive some additional support on these applications. So the example is somewhere someone else has brought their licensure current, and so we're just kind of adjusting that what they're working on day to day to ensure that we don't get behind on theirs, but we can see if we can improve upon our existing timeline here. So ultimately, I want that establishment licensing down to 14 days. That's what we are driving to. Kelly's shaking her head. I'm glad to see that. To clarify, my desire is for a complete application to be processed in 14 days. And this is an important distinction because when we have been reviewing this data over this last month, we have determined that our average incomplete application rate is 39%. So that means 39% of those establishment applications coming into our organization are incomplete, which means rework for us, and it means rework for the licensee.
I have a question about that.
over the coming weeks that we plan to dig into the reasons as to why the 39%. I think we have some, maybe some gut items that we think are the reasons why. And I'll be very candid in that I personally think that that license process is complicated. And because it's complicated, we see a lot of rework needing to be done on those. Sorry.
That was my question.
Okay. I try to put, in preparation for these meetings, I try to put my board hat on and be like, what questions would I ask? So that's, we are going to dig into that and understand that a little bit more and see if we can start driving that percentage down. I'll be candid, my idea that I let these guys will tell you, I throw ideas at the wall to see what sticks. Right. And my idea this week has been maybe we actually need to separate out the license type because we have three different types of entities that come into like three different types of ownership, I should say, coming into one application. But one of those is significantly more complicated than the third one. So maybe we need to pull out that third license type and have them do their own specific license type. And this will be news for our licensing team because we're really just digging into that to try to understand that. But the goal is 14 days, and that's what I want us to get to. It was getting it to less than a month, which that team blew out of the water in July, 3 months after I started, and so huge kudos to them. So now it's how do we get to a current ongoing state, which my desire is 14 days.
A year ago, it was 3 or 4 months.
In April, it was 5 months. So, so it's come a long way. So I don't want to diminish the work of this team at all in any way, shape, or form, but getting it to that point of continuous improvement and getting it to a 14-day mark to provide that world-class customer service to our license holders in the state of Arizona.
The data is great. I just I did notice two establishment license cases, I think, from last month where they thought they were getting it, but they didn't complete, to your point. So
yep.
The data aligns with what we've seen.
Yep. I like that you're making those correlations. So with that, our next five meetings, December 16th, January 20th, February 17th, March 24th. Just a friendly reminder, we had to adjust that March meeting to the fourth Friday, but we gave you 6 months notice, so I'm hoping everybody, Brandy's going to be able to adjust. And then our April meeting is scheduled for April 21st. So with that, our board training for this morning is formal disciplinary proceedings, which will lead into motions to deem that you have on your agenda. Attorney General Baskin.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. So this presentation is going to take us what happens after the board votes a case of formal hearing. What steps statutorily and procedurally does board staff go through to bring those cases to some type of finality. So after the board reviews the cases and moves them to formal hearing, that would be at the informal stage where individuals do not show up for a formal hearing, or the board finds that it is of such seriousness at a formal hearing that that case would need to move forward to a formal hearing, then what happens? Okay, board staff continues to try to resolve the case based on the board's motion. So if the board's motion was to move the formal hearing and accept the previously offered consent agreement, board staff moves forward, still tries to communicate with the licensee, makes that offer, and resolve those cases, and that's what Ms. Rodriguez does. She is a very good communicator and a very fast communicator. I mean, she is these files are, you know, just replete. You'll see just all of the documentation and the emails and the phone calls that she does make. So that happens. Many of the cases, and it would be really interesting for us to get some metrics on this, to see how many cases she is able to resolve and just to follow this process. Then in the event that the matter is not resolved initially, then a formal disciplinary complaint is drafted and served on the licensee. Now, what does the board do to serve this formal complaint? The board sends it to the licensee's address of record. That's why, and I'm going to turn to the audience full of students, it's really important that all licensees maintain their address of record with the board so that we can correspond. And, you know, this is about licensing issues. all types of issues, but it is paramount upon the licensees to be able to provide that information. So how is it served? Well, it's required under law to be served by certified mail at the last known address of record. The board takes the additional step to also serve it by regular mail. And also, if we have an email address on file, it's also as a courtesy sent by email. If we receive any mail that is returned to us, Ms. Rodriguez will resend it to the new address, and many times the complaint is received at that time. And again, when licensees receive the complaint for a formal hearing, many of them will call and say, you know what, I really don't want to go this route. I want to resolve the matter. And because of the way the board makes the motion and the vote, it allows Ms. Rodriguez to resolve those matters and not bring them back to the board. So that's why when you're making the motion, we're kind of maybe on you to make sure that that language is really succinct so that Ms. Rodriguez has this opportunity to move these cases forward. All right. So at that point, that's what happens as far as the formal complaint issued. All right. And then this is your statute. This is your statutory provision under 32573 for a disciplinary action and appeal. This is the one for cosmetology. There is also one for barbering, 32354, that has the procedure for disciplinary action and appeal, which is very similar. And again, how does the case move forward? If there's no appearance at an informal interview after receiving notice in this case, and again, what happens is at this point, and Ms. Rodriguez could jump in here, Ms. Rodriguez will even contact people before the informal proceedings and before the board meeting locally. So there is not only written notice, there's also email notice, and there's verbal communication that occurs at that time, just to let people know where they are in the process and what their options are. So if there's no appearance, again, it would be moved forward to issuing a complaint for formal hearing. And then if after the informal interview, the board believes that the investigative evidence really warrants something that is more serious, such as revocation or suspension, public reproof, or a civil penalty, but many times the civil penalties are offered through the consent agreement. Right. Then we're turning to your next statute, which is 32573, the procedure for disciplinary action and appeal. And what this provides that if the licensee fails to answer in writing within the time limit, it is deemed an admission by the licensee of the act charged in the complaint, and the board may take disciplinary action allowed by this chapter without a hearing. And what that is very similar to is a civil default proceedings. This is similar language that other boards, medical boards, health boards that I represent, we have the same type of language. But what is of note is that the barbering statute, and I'm sure I'm going to get a nod from Mr. Bueno, does not contain this language. So in the event that a case is moved to formal hearing from a barber, we would not have the option to enter a default if we have no response and there has been proper notice, and we would be moving forward for a formal hearing. And Mr. Bueno, am I going to get a yes from you?
Yes.
Okay. So that is maybe something when the board is impaneling their legislative committee. There's something that maybe they consider consolidating this whole disciplinary action section to provide uniformity. Okay, so after the board issues the formal complaint and we don't have a response within 30 days, the case is transferred to the Assistant Attorney General for the Assistant Attorney General to file a motion to deem allegations admitted. And what happens, let's go to the next slide. And the motion is served on the licensee. It will outline the procedural history of the case. It will outline that service was provided to the licensee, and the licensee will receive also, well, not only will the Attorney General's office serve that motion, the board will serve a notice to the licensee that will be considered. Once that's done, it's placed on the board's agenda, and the board at that time will be represented by an independent advisor from the Attorney General's office, because once matters are moved to formal hearing, your current Attorney General that represents you, that would be myself, changes hats, and I become the prosecutor in the state, and I become the prosecutor who represents the people of the state of Arizona in that matter. So I can advise the board. We would have an independent advisor. In the past, we had Mary Williams, who was chief counsel of licensing and enforcement, and she retired at the end of October. So anyway, there will be somebody new. And what happens is the AG will present the state's position in the motion and will be asking the board to do three things. Adopt the findings of facts and conclusions of law within the complaint, and that is codified in the statute because those allegations are deemed admitted. And then the attorney for the state will also outline how notice was correct in this case, and then we'll make a recommendation for disciplinary action in that case. And then the board will review the matter, make three motions that are, you know, obviously optional based on the facts of the case. It would be to adopt the findings of facts and conclusions of law, and, well, to first to grant the motion to adopt the findings of facts and conclusions of law, and to impose disciplinary action. And at that time, that would conclude the matter. The licensee will receive a formal order from the board outlining what happened at the board meeting, and then the licensee will have appeal rights where they could file a motion. They will be required to exhaust their administrative remedies, which will require them to file a motion before the board for rehearing and for review, and then they would also have all their appellate rights to file a judicial review action within the Superior Court. So that's just a really brief roadmap on what happens to those cases. I would want to point out that there is a really impetus upon board staff to communicate, to resolve these matters, to be helpful, to answer questions. And many times they will contact me at that time, and at that time I am, you know, representing the state of Arizona. I'm a party to the case, and I will, you know, will be able to speak to the licensee. And many times between Ms. Rodriguez and myself, we're able to resolve these cases. And many times the conversation is, you know, I don't want a hearing on this. You know, you're right. I didn't have a license. I didn't have it for 2 years, and I worked. So, I mean, those have been some of the conversations that we've had. But they want to make it right to the board, and they'll just resolve the case, and we'll have some finality. So, at that point, does the board have any questions?
I think we're okay.
All right.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, we, in discussing the training option for this month, we wanted to get this one in this month because I want to be transparent in saying that there is a possibility over the next probably 2 to 3 months, because of the progress the board's been making, that we could see some of those cases in the coming months. So we wanted to make sure that we have that well-rounded understanding. That one's new to me. We've done one since I arrived in April, a motion to deem at this point. So I'm still learning. I'm on the learning curve on that one as well. I did have three additional items for the board that were not in my presentation that got triggered throughout the conversation this morning. Number one, I'm very excited to share, and I did share by email, that we have launched a new consolidated Arizona Barbering and Cosmetology Board webpage. That was a huge project, a huge undertaking that was driven by our communications administrator, Isabella, who's not here to receive the public acknowledgement because she's now on her honeymoon. She's literally at the airport trying to leave right now. So I do want to publicly acknowledge Isabella, her leadership, and her drive for getting that webpage done. It did launch on time on November 4th. It took a little bit of arm twisting, but we got there. And we continue to make improvements as we hear a consistency in complaints, if you will. So if we hear something one time, we're not necessarily adjusting, but if we hear it 5 or 6 times, we look at what our options are. It is very different, and we are having to educate our customer base about the difference in the web page and that it is actually easier to navigate, but it looks different for them. So that is great work, and I'm really excited because I think it looks really good, and the information there is outstanding at this point. The license printing, individual license printing that I referenced in last month's board meeting, it was scheduled to launch. My desire was for that to launch on October 31st. That has not happened. There were a number of glitches in the testing process, the IT testing process. It was in user acceptance testing yesterday afternoon. I believe we identified a couple more issues. And so now at this point, even if that becomes ready, let's just say right this minute or today, we are going to delay the launch of the individual license printing until December 1st. And that's to give us time for communication. That's to get us past the Thanksgiving holiday, and just to really work around and potentially communicate. Yeah, so for our students and teachers in the room, historically, the organization has printed and mailed those licenses to all of you as individuals. We will be transitioning that to you all as individual license holders, printing those licenses yourself so that you have your copies, and you can do that through the GL portal. Do not have to wait on staff or USPS mail. It can't get lost in the mail. We believe it to be a much better customer service opportunity for license holders, but we also know it's a shift in how we have historically done business. So we are also beginning to do more communication, broad-based communication to our license holder population through Constant Contact. And we're still trying to figure out exactly how and what the communication plan is. But like, as an example, we would start emailing all existing license holders that change is coming. The final item that I did want to bring to the board's attention is that we have reformatted your informal interview scripts, which are in, you have a hard copy in your new folders this month. And we have paginated it so that it should be easier for you to go to and from and follow so that you're not fumbling multiple pieces of paper. We made it a little bit bigger. We added some spacing just in that hope that we can follow that a little bit better for you this month. The meat and potatoes of that remains the same. It was mostly formatting changes. So with that, Mr. Chair, I'll turn it back over to you.
I was wondering, just based on some of the cases we've had before, if let's say a salon wants to hire a licensee, on our new website, are they able to check and verify if a license is up to date?
Mr. Chair, Member Flores, excellent question. That is one of the changes that we made to the webpage. So the new webpage did have license verification on it, except it was 3 clicks away.
Okay.
Now we've moved it up, and it's right on that bar. Well, if you're on a computer, it's on that bar across the top, and it's right in the middle. It says license verification. You click that, it opens a new webpage to select either cosmetology or barber. And then it takes you to the appropriate system to verify a license.
Awesome. And then one final question. When I was excited about the new website, I didn't use the link in the email. I Googled it. And it looks like the old cosmetology website is still active. Are they going to take that down?
So that's also a Mr. Chair Member Flores, also another good question. We are aware of that issue from a Google standpoint. What we are learning is that it takes 4 to 6 weeks for Google and search engines to catch up to new web page launches. So we anticipate, and we have been receiving questions into the customer service team about that issue, and we're kind of waiting out that timeline at this point for that to catch up. The difference in what I'm hearing you say, though, is that so if somebody were to go to azboc.gov, that web link in and of itself will automatically forward you to the new web page. But if you Google something, let's say you Google something that existed on the old web page, and the Google result is azboc.gov/something, it's the slashes that don't get forwarded. So we're having to wait out that timeline with Google for those search engines, or I shouldn't say Google, but the search engines generally speaking to catch up. So we'll continue to keep an eye on that. If you see anything in particular, you're free, please feel free to email myself or Isabella, and then we'll look at it and figure out what we can do.
Awesome. Thank you.
I was just going to say, isn't it easier just to redirect the link from the old web page to the new one?
So we have a redirect from the main web page, so the azvoc.gov.
So it's just
all of the extraneous.
All the archives and
the are still going to the existing web page. So
a lot of people haven't updated their bookmarks, probably.
So that, yeah, we're missing on updated bookmarks, and those search engine results will continue because it takes 4 to 6 weeks for those to catch up. And again, I would encourage any member of the board, if you see something out there somewhere that seems off, let us know. We're happy to look into that.
Yeah, it sounds like really good progress. All right, so let's start to our consent agenda. We're doing that now.
Yeah.
Someone.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, we have number Roman numeral 5, complaint review consent agenda. We do not have any application denials this month, so we're at 5B, recommended dismissals. We have 5 dismissals recommended for you.
Step 1B, recommended dismissals. Mr. Chairman and members of the board, all cases listed under Step 1B, recommended dismissals, have been reviewed according to board's parameters, and we would ask the board to consider staff recommendations or take other non-disciplinary action.
Okay,
we have a
motion.
Chris Boswell moves that we accept staff recommendations for recommended dismissals under Step 1B.
Ledoux, second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right. So, based on that, we'll move on to
unanimous.
It passes unanimously. Sort of delayed, but unanimous.
You're right.
All right, let's look at C, please.
Step 1C, non-disciplinary letters of concern. Mr. Chairman and members of the board, all cases listed under Step 1C, recommended non-disciplinary letters of concern, have been reviewed according to board parameters, and we would ask the board to consider staff recommendations or take other non-disciplinary actions.
Any questions from the board? Any discussion? Any motion?
Ms. Montgomery moves that we take staff recommendations for all cases under Step 1C.
Second it, Marshall Knox.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Passes unanimously.
Step 1D, recommended informal interviews with negotiation options. Mr. Chairman and members of the board, all cases listed under Step 1D, recommended for informal interview with negotiations term, have been reviewed according to board parameters, and we would ask the board to consider staff recommendations or take other non-disciplinary actions.
Any discussion? Cases you want to review? Okay, we have a motion.
Ms. Montgomery moves that we accept staff recommendations under Step 1D.
Ledoux, second.
The motion is second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That passes unanimously.
All right. With that, Mr. Chair, members of the board, we are moving to Roman numeral 6, items for board review, discussion, and possible action. The only item within this section that we have is letter L, which is scheduled for 10 a.m. So I would recommend that we go into recess for 15 minutes until 10 a.m.
All right. That's an excellent idea. We always enjoy recess. We will recess 15 minutes and reconvene at 10 a.m.
Okay.
We'll be muting the phone for the recess. All right. Good morning for those on the phone. We will be coming back into session in about 30 seconds. So, Adriana, if you can please restart the recording.
Yes, it has been recording.
Thank you, Adriana.
When you're ready. Nice. All right. We're coming back into session. Thank you for coming back. Hope you appreciate the break. We'll get back into work.
So, Mr. Chair, members of the board, we do, as I mentioned just before recess, in Roman numeral 6L, we do have a case review discussion and possible action regarding non-compliance with a consent agreement and lifting the stay of revocation. My recommendation for starting this, Mr. Chair, is that you go through the introductory part of the script for the interviews. I apologize. We don't have to do that in this case. With the exception of swearing in, so in this case, I will need to be sworn in along with Alex and Helen, are the three individuals that will need to be sworn in for this case. If you want to go through and do the swearing in for everybody, that is a part of the script as well, the swearing in piece.
Okay.
It's probably second page.
Here we go. All right, so we'll start off with number 7 on the agenda. Okay, at this time, I'll swear in the staff members who will be testifying today. Those law and compliance team members, please stand and raise your right hand. Rosa Rodriguez, Alan Bordelon, Ed Whitaker, Lisa Chavez, Keegan McConnell, Alexander Hill, Dr. Bergeron, Frank Bagali. You swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
State
your name.
Lisa Chavez. State your name.
Rosa Rodriguez, I do.
Kelly Whitaker, I do.
Alexander Hill, I do.
Stephen
McConnell, I do.
Helen Bordelon, I do.
Jesus
Chavez, I do.
Patrick
Bridger,
I do.
Frank
McGalley,
I do.
Thank you. Now let's move to our case number 96097, Jackie Tuan Juan Tran, 5140137.
Good morning again, Mr. Chair, members of the board. This matter concerns licensee Jackie Tran, currently on a consent agreement that became effective February 26th of 2021. In that consent agreement, the board indefinitely suspended Mr. Tran's license until such time that Mr. Tran provided sufficient evidence that the criminal matters in the City of Phoenix and the City of Scottsdale have been resolved. The consent agreement further ordered that during the period of suspension, respondents shall not work or advertise as a nail technologist in the state of Arizona. Finally, and most importantly, the consent agreement had a provision of a stayed revocation which provided any violation of the consent agreement would be grounds for an automatic revocation of his license. Our office received a complaint on October 17, 2022 concerning Mr. Tran. I will now outline the investigative information found as a direct result of this complaint, which proves Mr. Tran was in violation of the consent agreement by providing nail technology services while his license was suspended. On October 17, 2022, the board office received an online complaint from Mr. Howie stating that on October 13, 2022, his two daughters went to Happy Feet Nails located in Mesa to receive manicures. The complaint further indicated a police report was filed with the Mesa Police Department. One of his minor daughters was being serviced by Jackie Tran. While the minor was receiving a manicure from Mr. Tran, he began making inappropriate comments that made her uncomfortable. On October 15, 2022, the complainant went to the salon to confront Mr. Tran, who was providing a manicure service on a client at that time. There is video of this interaction included in your exhibits. On October 26, 2022, myself, along with two board investigators, spoke with the complainant about the incident. The complainant stated he discovered through online research that Mr. Tran's nail technology license had been suspended since February 26 of 2021. On October 26, 2022, myself, along with two board investigators, spoke with the respondent, Jackie Tran, via telephone. The respondent stated that he had been working at Happy Feet Nail Salons, but was no longer working there. On October 26, 2022, the board investigators went to Happy Feet Nails in Mesa and spoke with the manager about the complaint. She stated that Jackie Tran was terminated on October 15, 2022, the day after the incident. When investigators asked if she was aware that the respondent's license was suspended, she stated that she had a copy of his nail technology license and provided the investigators with a photocopy, along with verification of his employment by way of I-9 documentation that was dated October 18th of 2021 through October 15th of 2022. During the board's investigation, it was confirmed that the respondent had been using an altered license that was not issued by this board. A copy of that altered license is available in your exhibits. Additionally, it has been determined that the respondent has been providing nail technology services since at least October of 2021. There are payroll records to prove this in your exhibits. As a reminder, he entered into a consent agreement on February 26th of 2021 that indefinitely suspended his nail technology license for case 96097. Furthermore, that consent agreement ordered that during the period of suspension, the respondent shall not work or advertise as a nail technologist in the state of Arizona. The consent agreement further ordered that any violation of the terms of the consent agreement shall be grounds for the automatic revocation of the respondent's license without a hearing. By entering into that consent agreement, the respondent freely and voluntarily relinquished all rights to an administrative hearing, as well as all rights of a rehearing, review, reconsideration, appeals, judicial review, or any other administrative and or judicial review action. Mr. Chair, members of the board, at this time, do you have any questions for myself or the investigators on this case?
Can you point out altered license? I can't find it in my core title. Oh, that would be great. Thank you. Sorry.
I mean, there is some trouble with the electronic stuff. I do have the altered license and the case and the inspection, but I don't have it in the folder. I just have it randomly throughout the drive.
Okay.
I'm missing step six. I noticed that the other day. So if I go to the drive here, and then I go to the November 18th.
If you search in the drive bar at the top, the case number, it'll pop up all of it.
Step seven.
Yeah, that's the case.
Okay. So it's mislabeled as step seven instead of step six.
So this is altered, like they literally changed something on the license flap.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, so it's a bit complicated, so I'll try to explain how we know that that license is altered. So Mr. Tran's license was suspended February 21st. Our system indicates, February of 2021. And I see you just pointed out how it was. So that license that you have in front of you, the evidence of that altered license that you have in front of you, it has an expiration date of November 16th of 2024, mm-hmm. Which means that he was within the renewal period had his license not been suspended. You, by board rule, are allowed to renew your license 60 days prior to the expiration. So that means that he would have been up for renewal from September 17th of 2022 to November 15th of 2022. You will notice on that license, on that evidence, that the prior executive director, Kim Scopelides, signature is on that license. Kim left in September of 2021, and her signature has not been on a license since that time. So there's no way that this board would have issued a license to a suspended individual, number one, and number two, a license that with the prior executive director's signature on it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's egregious. And then is there, was our website operational for the Happy Feet Nails to have checked the status of this licensee before hiring?
Yeah, there has been a license verification option on our webpage for as long as I understand. For individuals, it may not have been easy to find on previous web pages in complete transparency. However, it was available on the web page.
Got it. Thank you.
Mr. Ledoux.
Is there going to be any repercussion for the establishment hiring this person without checking their status?
Mr. Chair, Member Ledoux, at this time, we did not find any violations with the establishment as the individual had provided a altered license to them that they believed to be accurate. They did not verify by way of they didn't do a secondary check. Our board investigators did educate the owner and the manager about that option being available when they went out to the inspection, but at this time we do not have any violations against the salon owner, the nail salon owner at this time. And when the investigators went out there, it was immaculate. It's a very, very nice nail salon that had no other violations.
So is it a best practices just to check the licenses, or is it legally required by them?
It is not a legal requirement to verify a license by an owner. However, it would be we believe it to be a best practice. Yes.
Okay.
Any other questions? All right.
No. So it's just to confirm, no other questions for the investigators. All right. Mr. Chair, members of the board, I understand that the respondent is represented by Attorney Sarah Stark, who I understand is present virtually on the phone.
Ms. Stark, are you present?
Yes, this is Sarah. Good morning.
Thank you for joining us. Do you have any information that you'd like to supply to the board to help us in our decision?
Well, and thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. For the record, I'm Sarah Stark. I'm counsel for Mr. Tran. As I stated, we understand patients here. We understand the board's options pursuant to the prior consent. Due to the nature of the allegations, we won't be providing a substantive response at this time. But again, I did, on behalf of Mr. Tran, want to make an appearance just to show taking this process seriously. We respect the board and its processes. So I'm here, but I don't have anything substantive to add at this time. Thank you.
Thank you for your interest.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, at this point, the board will have the option to adopt the findings of facts and conclusions of law found within the investigative report. I would recommend that you follow your informal interview script for that process as well.
Do you recommend that we read through this entire script or
just that motion for adopting the findings of facts and conclusions of law?
Right.
Should you choose to do so.
Yep. So do we have a motion regarding this findings of facts and conclusions of law?
I move that we adopt the findings of fact and conclusions of law in the investigative report. Goosebump over second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? We hear that. It's passed unanimously.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, based on the findings of facts and conclusions of law, the board will now have the option to enforce the terms of the consent agreement by lifting the stay of revocation and revoking Mr. Tran's nail technology license. I don't believe you have a predetermined motion in your script for that one, so it would just I would ask that you identify yourself in making that motion, should you choose to, and go from there.
Um, Sorry, I'm trying to get all the words right. Guzman Glover moves that we lift the stay
and revoke
the license for Mr. Tran, license number
514007. Second. Mr. Knox.
Thank you. The motion is second. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, that passes unanimously.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, thank you for that. Finally, the board will now have the option to refer this matter to the Arizona Attorney General's Office and Maricopa County Attorney's Office for further investigation.
I move that we refer this matter to the Arizona Attorney General and Maricopa
County Attorney
for further investigation into the allegations in the investigative report.
Sam Ledoux, second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The passes unanimously. Please refer this to the criminal division.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, I appreciate your time in this matter. Next up on the agenda is our, number 7, informal interviews. We have no cases without negotiation options, so we are going to go to 7B with negotiation options, and I will now turn it over to Ms. Rodriguez to share with you what we have for you this morning.
Step 2B, informal interviews with negotiation options. Number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and number 13 will be appearing. Number 10 is unresolved. So I apologize on that. I have to continue with them.
I need to continue.
Number 10, I need to continue. And then number 12 is unresolved.
What
11 is unresolved. I apologize for that. Number 14 is unresolved. 15 is unresolved. 16, 17, and 18 are unresolved.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, I believe we intended, and of course that could have changed, that the first cases this month, numbers I believe 1 through 6, should be in the room this morning, and then the remaining would be on by phone.
Okay.
So, Mr. Chair, now I believe we probably would go back to your informal interview script and start at the beginning, although staff has already been sworn in.
Yeah, hey, is it your thought that we should do the phone people first or the people,
people in the room?
Okay, good one. All right. Okay, starting our formal process for getting this up, it's now 10:20, it looks like.
Yes.
Let me tell over there. On 11/18/2022. This is a time, place, schedule for the board's review of cases scheduled for an informal interview pursuant to ARS 32-573. My name is Board Chairman Begley. The other board members will now introduce themselves to indicate whether they are a public member or a professional member. Mr. Knox, would you begin?
Mr. Knox, Vice Chair. Marshall Knox.
Trista Guzman Glover, public member. Brandy Flores, public member.
Sam Ledoux, public member.
Okay.
Chase Turrentine, public member.
Thank you very much. Also present are the board's executive director, Frank Magali, and the board's attorney, Mona Baskin, from the Arizona Attorney General's Office. When your case is called, unmute your phone by pressing *6, assuming that you're on phone. Please be aware that we have read all the materials submitted in order to give everyone the same opportunity to address the board. We ask those speaking not take time repeating information the board may have already received. You and your legal counsel, if applicable, collectively will be given time to address the board equal to the time it took to present the investigative reports for 5 minutes, whichever is greater. The board has a stability policy, and we request all participants conduct themselves in a professional manner. Once the board concludes this discussion with the parties, it will move into deliberations. While the parties are free to stay and listen to the deliberations, we ask that you respect the fact that we are now discussing the case amongst ourselves and request that you not interrupt that process. Before we begin, I want to advise everyone this proceeding is being recorded. Accordingly, it is important that everyone speaks loudly and clearly, that only one person speaks at a time. To ensure we have an accurate record, please say your name each time before you speak. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case and to decide the outcome. Licensees have received a notice informing them of the matters to be discussed today and the process for the informal interview. The possible actions the board may take have also been discussed. All right, so let's move into our first case, case number 97475, Ming Hair Salon, license SCOS 26556, Ming Pham, license 19500583. Will the staff give us a brief summary of the case to whoever's involved in that? Mr. Pham, are you present?
Nope.
Yes. Mr. Pham, would you come forward if you're present? Mr. Pham, if you were present, would you please come forward to this desk?
Please come forward to the table here.
And before you sit, you're right, raise your right hand. You swear the testimony you'll give today will be truthful, and then state your name.
My name is Yip-Pop.
Okay. You swear to tell the truth? Do you swear that you will tell the truth, sir?
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. So, would you please, she'll review the case with us first, and then we'll come back and ask you questions. Okay? Please.
Good morning, Mr. Begley and members of the board. My name is Kathy Bertram. On February 4th, 2022, I conducted an inspection on Ming Hair Salon. I spoke with Min Pham. During the inspection, I identified the following establishment license violations. He did not display the establishment license, which was inactive and expired October 4th of 2019. I verified with the main care salon the license of the dashboard database and determined that was renewed on, it wasn't renewed on March 3rd of 2022 and November 9th of 2022. It is now active and expires October 4th of 2023.
Okay. So the only violation was the licensing?
Exactly.
Okay. Mr. Pham, can you tell us how that happened, that you missed the renewal of your license?
Because that time the boy handled and displayed his license, they told me to clean up, you know, they took it down. And then that time, the COVID time, and I'm sick, you know, the business slows, you know, so I forget looking, you know. So one day, you know, I look at it, oh my God.
Okay. When his license was renewed, he paid penalties for that, I assume.
Right, he did. Yeah.
Okay.
And it looks like he renewed in March, and which expired this October, and then he has renewed again, so it is through next October.
Right. He renewed on March 18th, and he did it three times for the 3 years, and then he renewed again November 9th of 2022.
Okay.
All right. So he's all caught up.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other questions? Thoughts?
Let me get this.
Yeah. We made it easier, but it's different now.
Can you say that it concludes that the first? Do you want me to say that?
Sure.
Okay. This concludes the portion of the informal interview in which we hear testimony. Based on the allegations stated in the notice of informal interview, the board will now discuss the case, deliberate, and decide what type of action to take, either disciplinary or non-disciplinary. So please do not interrupt the board's discussion and deliberation. Okay. So for this, I would move that we adopt the findings of fact and conclusions of law in the investigative report.
I second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, it passes unanimously. We believe this happened. That's all we say.
And I move that based on these findings of fact and conclusions of law that the disciplinary action be a disciplinary letter of concern. For the reason that the licensee has paid the delinquent fees, that seems like the license was not renewed during the period of COVID when many salons were not operational. And this matter has been addressed and taken care of on the part of the licensee. This one's over a second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? All right, Pastor Nathalie, we're going to give you a letter of concern that we are aware this happened. There's no fine. It'll go in your record, so we'll be aware that this happened. So just keep the license up, and we're fine. We appreciate the hard work you do to keep your business running.
Thank you.
Thank you. So you can go. We'll send this to you in the mail.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, our next case is number 2, our case number 97480. Pink Lotus Nails and Spa, SNT 18977. Pink Lotus Nails and Spa, LLC. Min Nguyen Hun, license 597-00037. Anyone from Pink Lotus Nails present? Is there anyone on the phone related to Pink Lotus Nails? Star 6 to unmute. Well, all right. Here we have a script for that. All right. So again, Pink Lotus Nails. Anybody at all? All right. Hearing no response, I move that case number 97480. Be moved to a formal hearing, or in the alternative, we would accept the signed consent agreement previously offered by the board as a resolution for this case.
Just one more second.
Is there any discussion?
I just wanted to point out again that this is another MMA case, and this one, the bottle actually has, you know, it's marketing itself as a beauty supply chain, and it's in Arizona. So it's another thing to keep in mind for the legislators who may be paying attention.
We hope to get that solved at some point. Any other discussion? All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, hearing no opposition, that moves forward to a formal hearing unanimously. Number 3 on our agenda, case number 97613, Trina Nails of the World by Antoine, SNT 20068, Ho Nok Lam 12000002, owner. All right. Good morning. Before you sit down, it's okay. Do you swear the testimony you give today and then say your name, please?
Yes. Swear the father name?
Yes. Say your name.
My name is Hua.
Okay. Your entire name?
Hua. Lang of Hua.
Okay. Do you swear your testimony will be truthful?
Yes.
Okay. Please have a seat. All right. And what we'll do is we'll hear from my investigator. She'll tell us her side, and then I'll ask you questions.
Good morning, Mr. Bailey and members of the board. My name is Alan Hill.
On May 11th of 2022, I conducted an inspection of Trina Nails of the World by Antoine and spoke with a staff member. When inspecting the establishment storage room, I found 2 gallons of MMA, which is a prohibited substance according to our rules. When I asked the staff member about my findings, they stated they use EMA on clients and proceeded to show me a gallon of EMA, which complies with state and federal laws. If you have any questions, I will be happy to address them.
The MMA was in storage. Were they open?
Yes.
Both had been opened?
I thought you meant open. They were open for business. I did not check if they had been opened because it was present in the storage room.
Was present in the storage room. Did it appear that they had been opened? Did they appear to be full when you looked at them?
No. They did not appear to be full.
They were partial bottles.
Yes.
Okay.
It's my understanding that this liquid has a distinct odor. Did you happen to smell that odor when you were in the facility?
I didn't. They use a lot of different products with very strong odor, so I didn't. And I didn't want to open and smell that directly.
Understand.
Take one for the team. Okay. Any other questions? All right. So it appears that you had 2 complete or partial MMA bottles in your salon. Can you tell us about that?
When we bought the nail salon and the old owner, they keep it there, so we didn't know it. But after that, she looked in the cabinet, there's only 2 bottles in there, so we didn't know it. Because I'm busy remodeling, so we don't have time and look it up.
Okay, how long have you had your salon?
Just 1 year.
1 year?
Yes. Between from November until now, so almost 1 year.
Okay, and where is the MMA now?
We put in the cabinet. When they find out, and then we go in the right way. Because that's illegal. We didn't know it. So we didn't use any more.
Okay. Do we have any questions?
You said you didn't use any more.
No, we just didn't bring. No MMA.
Okay. So you didn't use any at all?
No. Because that is illegal, so we don't use it.
Okay. What's your questions, anyone?
I don't have any questions for the licensee, but I think we've had a couple of these cases last board meeting. Mm-hmm. And if I'm remembering correctly, in instances that are similar to this are what the standard that we've upheld has been sort of a disciplinary letter of concern if it's been in storage and not the active monitor that they use. But I'm hoping I'm remembering that correctly.
Yeah, the key is whether it's been opened and used.
Right. I guess what I'm saying is that the licensee brought approved liquid when asked directly. And so the assumption, assuming good faith on the part of the licensee, is that that's true.
I think we've been doing that as a disciplinary letter of concern.
Okay.
I've been trying to go back.
Okay.
And I have the same thought.
Okay. All right, so based on that, do we have a motion in this matter?
I was going to say, Guzman Glover moves that we adopt the findings of facts and conclusions of law.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, unanimous that we agree that it happened.
And then I move that we issue a disciplinary letter of concern. In case number 97613. I second that.
Any discussion? All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? All right, so let's pass unanimously. So we understand. We're going to mail you a letter that talks about that this happened. It'll be on your record, so we'll be aware that we found it at one point. There's no fine, so you're okay. You did the right thing coming in. I know it's scary, but you did the right thing. But yeah, just don't do that, and but you know better, so you're okay.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, can I comment? So you will continue, it's likely you'll continue to see MMA products in the stores because it's not illegal to sell in the state of Arizona, but it's illegal to use, so just be mindful of that.
Oh, thank you.
right, thank you. You can go. All right. So now we're at number four. Our case number 97731, Beyond the Cut Hair Salon, SCOS 31730. Cynthia R. Yates Mellon, license P 4210596.
Yes.
Hi, how are you? Come up. You swear the testimony here today will be truthful?
Yes.
Just state your name.
Cynthia Yates Mellon.
Yates Mellon. Okay. Thank you. Please have a seat. I'll have our investigator tell us what she found.
Okay.
We'll listen to that, and then I'll ask you to help clarify.
Sure. So good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the board. My name is Kelly Whitaker. This was an investigation that was a complaint that was called in to us by Barbara Shanadon on July 6th of 2022. I went out to Beyond the Hair Cut Salon located at 345 South Tower Road, Suite 101. Upon my arrival, I asked to speak with Ms. Cynthia. The staff stated that she was not there and they were not sure when she would be there. I also asked to speak with the manager or person in charge. They all said that they have no manager, there's no one that is in charge, and Cynthia is not there. I spoke to a girl named Lauren who stated that Cynthia was having her grandson do some remodeling in the salon for an esthetician room. Lauren also stated that there was construction going on during the time that the staff and customers were in the salon, that there was a lot of dust and debris all over the place. On April 29th of 2022, stylist Janelle passed out from inhaling the debris from the construction, and an ambulance was called and she was given medical attention. At the time I left an affidavit to be filled out and sent back. And again, there was no manager on duty. After I did my inspection, I did find that two out of the three shampoo bowls at the time were not working. So they had one working shampoo bowl for six stylists.
Okay, so from what you said, would I interpret that the place wasn't clean at the time?
At the time that I was in there, it was clean.
Okay.
What this complaint was that the salon had been doing some reconstruction or remodeling. They were going to do a esthetician room. The room was not available to me to look at, so I was not able to get in there. It was locked. Nobody had a key to get in there to see if there was actually anything going on. But all the staff members stated that, yes, the salon was open during this construction, that there was a lot of debris, a lot of noise, a lot of dust and stuff in there. Again, they did have one person, Janelle, that they had to call an ambulance on to come because she was having some respiratory issues.
And the complaint wasn't claiming some sort of injury to themselves. They were just telling.
No, she was there the day that the girl was the ambulance was called.
Okay. All right. Is there anything else you want to tell us? Anything
I
else?
Have nothing else, okay. Unless you guys have questions for me.
Do we have questions at this point?
You were able to confirm that there was an ambulance called to the establishment.
Yes, I spoke with the stylist and the person that made the complaint and a couple of the other stylists that were there at the time.
So, Ms. Cynthia, can you talk to us about this a little bit?
Yeah. For one thing, there was, I don't recall ambulance being called, and Janelle does have a problem with breathing. There was no work being done because I was going to look at it, and when he was going to start, that when she sat down and fainted or whatever, she has breathing problems. She has a lung problem anyway, so we help her out with that. So there was nothing to do with drywall or nothing to do with construction, nothing to do with anything like that. So So as soon as she did that, he left. So there was no work done. I did ask her if she wanted to call Emlyn. She didn't. I just bought the shop, and I bought a lot of flowers. There's a lot of flowers there. I replaced everything new, everything going on there. I can't believe it's going on there. You know, this is my first time going to the salon. It really hurts me that they said things like that because a lot of it was true, you know.
Yeah.
And, as a matter of fact, right now, it really looks nice. I've done a lot to it because all I did was buy problems, and I didn't even know that, you know. So I think I lost a lot of money, really. So I'm really trying hard to upgrade it, make it look nice, and, you know, more of a attention and more of a working place where people would enjoy. Janelle, when she fainted, she got up, we talked, she left that store, she was just smiling and laughing. When she went to the car, he was a witness. There was other people. So I know that she has problems. We kept asking her about that, the ambulance part, because we know that she has problems, but she didn't say she wanted one. She said she was fine. So I honestly don't know why. I didn't even expect to have a report. I never knew anything about it. But I have learned a lot, and I'm learning still, and I believe me, I'm trying my best to keep it all the way straight.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the main thing. I've owned a couple businesses that were very successful, never had any problems. This is my first time experiencing something like this. Mm-hmm. But I will continue to keep myself updated with everything, because I call you a lot on, oh, can I do this? Can I do this? I call you a lot. This was awareness for me.
Well, we're happy for you.
I've never seen nothing like this, ever. I would never hurt anybody.
Sure. All right. So in summary of this, the complainant wasn't really involved. She was an observer of some sort. The person,
she was the person getting her hair done the day that they called the
right. Ambulance. But she's not saying she was harmed in some way.
No.
She was saying someone else was without knowing the medical care or anything. And there's a question about whether the ambulance was there or not based on several conflicting testimonies. Is there more that we should see or?
I mean, that's all that I had.
Okay.
Like I said, the complaint was by a customer that was in the salon the day of the event.
Yep.
Mr. Chairman, investigator, I have a question. Is no manager on duty a violation of any?
It is a violation, yes.
And is there a ratio of shampoo bowls to stylists?
Yes.
Okay. And so, so those are violations?
That's correct.
What is that ratio?
It is it's supposed to be two working shampoo bowls for every three. So for three stylists, they need to have, or for six stylists, they need to have two working shampoo bowls.
Okay, and she had one.
And she only had
one. The other three, they were not working. What was going on there?
You know,
so when I was there and I looked at them, one of them didn't work at all, and the other one, when you turned it on, the water came out of, so when the hose is attached, the water came out of where the hose comes out of. It was leaking out of there.
Okay, so.
I wasn't aware of any of that, and you know, the girls, when they did call me on those, because I have three shampoo bowls. I don't know, I know you said six, but I only have three. And
six stylists.
Yeah, you only need two.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you only need two.
So, they don't all.
She had three bowls, one worked, two didn't.
I know that they don't all. They actually never told me anything about them. Like I said, I just had bought it, so I know nothing about it. They didn't tell me anything, and when they showed me, it was a leak, and so I fixed it immediately. And so when I found out, I know I fixed it. I bought everything. And even the owner that I paid rent to helped me out. I know that he knows what happened. He knows my problem, my want, and everything. I'm like, wow. And I'm not aware that I have to have a manager running my place.
And when did you buy the place?
I bought it, I think, last year in June.
June?
Mm-hmm. I can't remember.
So you've been about a year and a half in working on it.
Almost a year and a half, yes.
Okay. All right. So do you understand the manager in charge? Somebody has to be in charge? Does that make sense to you now?
I have to hire somebody to
No, you can take one of the ones you already have, but just somebody has to be responsible.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm learning about this salon, and I didn't know anything.
But as of this minute, you understand that?
Yes, I do. Oh, yes. I did ask the previous owner, she would help me, so she helped me to learn that, but I heard a lot of stuff about it. So I'm learning a lot of it on my own by calling me.
Okay. Do we have any other questions? Just for the...
Yes. So,
there was construction going on, and the salon was open at that time, correct? Or was
No, there was no construction because I was not tearing nothing down.
So
we were looking at it to see what we, you know, ideas what to do. And he was going to start to do it, but that's when she got sick, and we just stopped and left.
So why do you think one of your customers reported you, and then all of the employees backed up those allegations?
I don't know. I really don't know, because I know I heard the drill going. He started to, and that's when and that's when I said, don't do it. And because I didn't know. And he was going to try to move the wall, but it didn't happen. It didn't happen because he left. And so he came back on the weekend to do it.
So to understand, I just want to clarify this correctly. So the people who filed the report alleged that you had construction and that there was an ambulance called for one of your stylists that faint, and you're saying that they were going to start construction, you stopped them from starting the construction, and then this stylist did faint, but it had nothing to do with any construction work, and there was no ambulance call.
No, there was nothing there to make her faint. There wasn't. And I know she gets sick. She does get sick, but we work with her, and I didn't understand it. I really didn't, why she fainted.
So if we were to contact the county who run the ambulances, they'll have no record of ever going to.
I don't know that.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, I don't think the ambulance part of this, it's not a part of substantiated violations from our regulatory investigation. The substantiated violations relate to infection control and safety standards and salon requirements, mm-hmm. all of which an applicant for an establishment license has to attest that they know and understand prior to being licensed in the state of Arizona.
You deal with the sink and the manager.
Right. Those are only areas of jurisdiction.
Correct. So I don't think, I mean, although yes, that was a part of the complaint, but we're focused on here today is the substantiated violations of infection control salon requirements and the substantive violations.
You had one working sink, and then you found out they weren't working, and then you repaired the other. Now you have two working sinks?
No, they're all working.
Oh, they're all
new. Everything's new. I fixed everything after moving. When I found out immediately, because I didn't know anything about that, like I said, I bought it, knew nothing about it. I've been there all the time.
Okay.
They never once told me about that.
All right, that's fine.
Not one time.
And the manager that you now understand, and then you will fix that.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion. Let me go to my page.
Thank you, Member Flores. We worked hard on that.
Well, before we do that, I just one more question to the inspector. So it was fairly cleaned up once again when you did the inspection.
There was no dust or debris looking that there was construction going on. No, but again, I was not able to get into the room where said construction was going on. It was locked and no one had a key.
But the area where the clients would have been,
it
was clean.
Clean, yes.
Yeah, so the only substantiated violations are those listed on the investigative report. So because of that, I move that we do adopt the findings of facts and conclusions of law in the investigative report. Ms. Munglover, second.
All right, so we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, we pass that unanimously.
And I move that the disciplinary action in this case be disciplinary when concerned, based on the fact that this salon was in the midst of a renovation. And so a leaky sink, or you know, one working sink and one leaky sink, I don't think it's completely unreasonable while things are being replaced, which I understand is a violation of rule we should at least put in the record. But it sounds like this salon has only improved over time. My rationale for that motion.
And the manager issue.
And regarding the manager issue, it is a matter of her authorizing someone or sort of giving them the verbal authority to act as manager, and I think that's a simple correction that the licensee is aware of and has corrected. Ms. Munglover seconds that motion.
So she's still in the process of correcting it, correct? Or did you have a manager? You have appointed a manager?
No, because I'm usually there. I just was, like, I've been running back and forth, but since you said I have to, I definitely going to have somebody.
So at what point will you, when will you put a manager in?
You know, the one of the workers there, she's actually been helping me a lot. So I'm probably going to talk to her because she's actually been doing a lot.
Will that be today?
Her name is Mel.
Will that be today?
Yes, I will talk to her today. Okay. Yeah, because she's there today.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's the answer. All right. So we have a motion, I believe.
We have a motion.
And a second, I believe. All right. So all in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All right. So that passes. We're going to give you a letter of concern. A disciplinary. So we're going to put this in your file. Let's make a note that this happened. We know you'll do a good job, so we'll never see you again, so it won't matter. Right?
Yes.
Okay. And we thank you for coming in. This has come through in the mail.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you for taking care of business. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right.
All right.
Number five. Our case number 97739-97740. Revive Eva. SNT 19337, SAES 21275, Revive Eva LLC owner, Juan Ho Bo, 11100388 member, Eva Hung Quinn, 11000268. Anyone present from Revive Eva? Anyone on the phone from Revive Eva, press star 6 to communicate with us. All right. All right, so I move the case number 97739-97740. Move to a formal hearing, or the alternative, we would accept the signed consent agreement that was previously offered by the board as resolution of this case.
Second.
Any discussion? We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposition? All right, therefore we have unanimous passing, so moves to formal hearing. Number six. Our case number 97767, Majestic Cuts Incorporated, SCOS 29326. Majestic Cuts Incorporated, the owner, Titania Hernandez, 11501279, is the Chief Operating Officer. Renee Hernandez is the CEO, and Pedro Hernandez is the Director. Ah, we have apparently Hernandez.
Yes. Yeah,
I'm just saying. Yeah, that's right. So, you swear the testimony is going to be truthful?
Yes.
And state your names.
Tatiana,
I like that. Tatiana.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, for the record, we do have an LLC representation attestation on file for my subject customer.
Hi. All
right. Hello?
Yeah, wait until your case is called, please.
All right.
Are you Hernandez? No, you're not Hernandez, therefore this is not your case, so please mute your phone and I'll get back to you when it's time. Chavez.
Yeah, you had my name before, and Chavez, I talked with you, you can't hear me. I don't know why. Hello?
We're on a different case right now, so you'll have to wait until your case is called. So please mute your phone and we will go back and call cases.
I understand that Eva LLC. Hello, you can enter.
We will come back to you now that we know you're here, but we are currently started another case.
Okay, so okay, I got you. Okay, okay.
All right.
Good morning, Mr. Beckley. My name is Lisa Chavez. On August 18, 2022, I conducted an inspection of Majestic Pets. I spoke with owner Tatiana Maria Victor Hernandez. During the inspection, I identified the following sanitation violations. The right side station, owner station, she actually has two stations, one on the very front right, one on the very front left that she utilizes. had black hair, the one on the right side, had black hair left on the floor from a previous haircut. Hair inside drawers with combs and trimmers, contaminating the school. Her mom left in the shampoo bowl. Owner is not cleaning and disinfecting her station after each service. The left side station, owner station again, had a client waiting with no service performed on her yet. The owner was mixing color or bleach, whatever, together for the client in the dispensary. You will see the photographs attached to this report. I also verified the establishment license by calling board of office. Board staff looked, and the board staff stated they looked over the database, and the establishment license expired on May 7th, 2022.
Were there any other sanitation issues?
Other than the two stations and the garage, no.
All right, so you've had an opportunity to review this complaint. Could you please tell us your side of it?
So when I do hair, I focus on one client at a time. So I just put a perm on a nail, and that's why the perm was for the station, and then I cut his hair. As soon as he was done, I went to the restroom. My client was in the chair. I have no side of service on her. I haven't had a chance to clean it because I did go to the restroom and I saw her walk in. And I did not get a chance to clean it up.
So it would have been your intention to let her sit there and go clean it?
No, yes. So she was just watching TV that was on the whatever show was on. And I was on my way to clean it up as I saw her walk in. I normally keep it very, very clean. I just don't do anything personal, like going to the restroom or whatever, when I'm working on a client. So in between clients, I try to.
Absolutely. How long have you had your business?
3 years.
3 years?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the establishment license issue?
It's now active as an issue that I did it. My daughter has her tonsils removed and broke her collarbone all in that month. So I've been focused on taking care of her and I took off. So,
and how long was the license expired?
It expired in May, and it was in August that I did the inspection, so 3 months.
Okay. All right. Do we have any questions from the board?
Is it up to date now?
It is. She is correct. She did it on the same day as the inspection.
Okay. And the client that was in the salon chair, did she, like, have?
No. She was in straight, and if I can say this. The right side station, it was black hair and it was straight, like a clipper cut.
Okay. And the other station looked clean enough?
Yeah.
All right. That's right. Mm-hmm. All right. Any other questions? Any motions?
I don't even need to write a good disciplinary letter. So don't want to adopt the language of that. That's my current. Okay. So in this case, it seems like the human bio needs resulted in the licensee using the restroom, which made it appear as if there was a dirty station. I think also the license was immediately that day renewed. It has been a very short period of time lapsed. And so in that case, I don't have concerns with public safety regarding this licensee or the establishment. So I would make a motion to dismiss the case. Just one over a second.
Okay. Any other discussion? All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Any questions? All right, it passes unanimously. We understand things happen. Chavez was exactly right in what she did.
Mm-hmm.
Timing is everything.
Yep.
So hope things go better now.
Thank you.
Thank you. Divide. Excluded.
Yeah.
Should have to rescind that motion.
All right.
Okay.
Number five. All right, so we're going to go back to number five. Cases number 9, 7739-97740. We have to have it rescinded, but if you made it.
No, anybody can rescind the motion.
Guzman Glover moves that we rescind the motion to send to formal hearing for case 97739-97740.
Okay. I second. The motion is second. All in favor say aye.
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 All right, so we rescind that motion. So let's recall Revive EVA SNT 19337 SAES 21275. Revive EVA LLC owner, Plan Ho Bo, 111000 or 00388, or EVA Wen, 11000268. So is someone here from Revive EVA? Star 6 to unmute your phone. Star 6 to unmute your phone.
Chairman. Sir, this is whoever we
Hello?
Told.
There you are. Okay. So.
Okay, now.
Yeah, stay right there. Don't move. All right. So, do you swear the testimony you... No, don't keep talking. Stop. Stay still. Do you swear the testimony you give today will be truthful?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Do you swear that you'll tell the truth? Yeah. Okay, now say who you are.
It's my name is Ton, and my last name is Bo. I own for Revive EVA LLC.
All right, that's perfect. Do we have
Mr. Chair, members of the board? I do not have a copy of an LLC representation attestation from this Revive EVA LLC. So
I have a copy.
Sure.
I can
do it. Yeah, by Arizona state law, corporations have a right to representation, and I can't hear a case of a corporation without representation. Mm-hmm. So we will continue your case until next month in order to give you time to get representation, and then we'll have to come back.
Or he can sign an LLC representation attestation, which was provided to him with his materials prior to.
Do you have that document, sir?
I already had a send for early morning and everything, but you don't see it?
Apparently not. Did you fax it, or how did you send it to us?
We sent for email.
You emailed it?
For,
all right.
Yep, on the email for, I sent on.
All right, we're looking.
We have not received it. All right, we just confirmed.
Okay, we unfortunately through mystical means or whatever it is, we didn't get it. So because of that, what I told you earlier is in effect. So please resend it, but we're going to move your case forward to next month so we can deal with whatever happened at that point after we have this in our hands, okay?
Okay, I got it.
All right, thank you very much.
We need a motion
like
that.
We need to move to
continue. Yeah, you'll need a motion.
All right, I make a motion. We continue case number 97739-97740 so they have an opportunity to gain the legal representation.
Pam, with you seconds.
All right, we have a motion. Second, all in favor say aye.
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 Okay, thank you very much. Any opposed? No? Good. Let's move on. All right, we are on a break.
2 minutes.
We're in a mission break.
So why don't we take a 10-minute
recess? Yep. We're in a recess. Feel free to move about the cabin. 10 minutes. We're back.
I know it's
wrong.
smart. I wish I had a solution for that. Monday.
You got that issue.
I can do any day, but Friday was
things are probably going to be a lot for the first year. Then we look at it again and see where we are. But yeah, life went very different. Well, the efficiency of the board is dramatic. Sorry about that.
For those folks on the phone, we are going back into recess right now, and we will call the next speaker momentarily.
So we're going to move the agenda around a little bit. We're going to run down through 7, 8, and 9, and then we're going to come back to number 2. So number 7, our case number 97413, Amy Hamblin, license 107-0040. Again, I'm asking for Amy Hamblin. If you're on the phone, press star 6 and join us. If you're here, please wave your hand, stand up, do a jumping jack, something. Mm-hmm. Nothing. Alright, we'll base on that. Alright, so unfortunately, I moved the case number 97413. Move to a formal hearing, or in the alternative, we would accept the signed consent agreement previously offered by the board as resolution for this case.
I'll second that.
Is there any discussion? Hearing no discussion, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? All right, so case number 97413 is unanimously accepted to move forward to a formal hearing based on the charge we discussed. Our next case, number 8 on our agenda, is case number 97589, Care Hands, SMT 18358, Ken Bao Nguyen, 315-00955. Care Hands, star 6 if you're on the phone so we can hear you. They mouth up the jumping jacks. Nobody's going to go. No? All right, never mind. All right, so then I move the case number 97589. Move to a formal hearing, or in the alternative, we would accept the signed consent agreement previously offered by the board as resolution for the case.
Second, Mr. Max.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We unanimously move case number 97589 to a formal hearing based on the terms we discussed. Case number 9 is our case number 97602, Shauna Michelle Miller, 110025-74. Shauna Michelle Miller, you're on
here.
The phone. Hello. Are you Ms. Miller?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Ms. Miller, do you swear the testimony you'll give today will be truthful?
Yes.
And state your name, please.
Shauna Michelle Miller.
Good, done. All right, so I'm going to have my staff review this case with us. Hopefully you can hear it. If you can't, let us know. And after we get through that, we'll ask you some questions, and then we'll go into deliberation. So,
yes, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Bailey, and the members of the board. My name is Kathy Bergeron. On April 27, 2022, I conducted an inspection of Fifth Bristol Avenue, would have said on the door. I spoke with the owners, Kennedy, Strini, Shauna Miller, and Jessica Jones. During this inspection, I identified the following. They were unlicensed establishments. Three of three were found operating in the unlicensed establishment. I provided the licensee with the inspection report and educated them before leaving. If you have any questions, I will be happy to address them.
So the entire thing is unlicensed, the facility itself was okay?
Everything else was fine inside there. It was an unlicensed establishment. They knew that they had to get an establishment license.
Do they have personal licenses?
They had personal licenses, yes. They were all up to date.
And did they get a license for the establishment since then?
One person did get a establishment license, and that was Shauna Miller. She did get the establishment license, and it expires October 25th, 2023.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I can't find this file in our...
It says 97601 and 97602.
And 97603.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I see.
The folder itself says
7611. Mr. Chair, members of the board, disregard.
We're okay. Go. So, Ms. Miller, apparently you were unaware you needed a salon license?
No, that's not completely correct. I applied for my salon license back in June or July 2019. Really long story short with that, I did allow it to lapse during the 20 and 21 years. No excuse at all other than personal situations that allowed me to forget.
Sure. So are you saying you had a license on this, a salon license, and it lapsed and disappeared, and then you started over? Is that what you're saying?
That is accurate. So I did fill out a renewal sometime in January. The computer was down, so it had me fill out the form. And I mailed it in with a cashier's check, but I never heard anything back from that. When I called, they had no idea that I even had a previous establishment license. They said they can't find any record of it anywhere. So,
did you get a paper license issued to you?
No.
Back in that time period?
Oh, in 2000, my initial one, yes. Yes. Okay. But now there's no record of it. So, when the inspector came in on April 27th, instead of trying to fight the issue about no one finding my renewal, I went ahead and I applied right away on May 3rd.
Okay.
I applied on May 3rd. I have a salon license that was issued to me. I apologize, not a license, but they did send me the email saying my application was complete. On May 16th, I have the authorization number, the order ID number. I paid for it, but no paper license ever came to me. When I tried to call again back in September, again, no one could help me. They couldn't find it. They had no idea what I was talking about. And out of frustration, I filed and paid again.
Wow. So is there some spelling question or something, do you think, or...
I really wish I knew, sir.
I was going to say, I suppose you went through that trying to figure that out.
Yeah, I've jumped through every hoop possible.
Okay. Do we know?
I have received my last paper license. So it's my second one that I applied for, or third, I guess I should say. I do have that.
Okay, so you have a license now that is current, that is hanging in your salon. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, but somehow we have this mysterious group of things that happened before that. Is that fair?
Yeah, I have all the emails with the, like I said, license numbers, application order ID, product ID. I have payment in my bank account for all of these licenses, but only one of them sent me a paper license.
Okay. Staff, any thoughts, stuff, any of this that we need to deal with, or do we, at this point, care? Does it matter?
I mean, we can, Mr. Chair, members of the board, we can certainly look into that, some of that time period is obviously prior to
Absolutely.
Some of us at this table, and there's new and different process in place now. Do you have anything?
Yes. So it looks like we required her to send in a color copy of her driver's license on 7-6 of 2022 and never received that. So correspondence was sent out on 7-6 of 2022. Because she did have an application and it was just still in the pending status at that time.
Okay.
We were waiting for that documentation to complete her application.
Okay. All right. This sounds like it's just a paper thing to me. So.
Did she ever send in? Did you ever send in a copy of the driver's license?
No, I didn't. I never received any email like that. What I only received saying was that my application was complete, that I had to sign from like an Echo signing page. It just said it was complete. It didn't ask me for anything. If it did, it was in small print and I missed it, and I again would take full responsibility for that, but I never saw anything like that. Otherwise, I would have done it.
Mr. Chairman, so this licensee is licensed at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Great. And so I do feel badly that the licensee has paid multiple times, it sounds like. But it would be great if board staff could look more deeply into what happened in the past, you know, for the other payments. But in the meantime, based on what I'm hearing here, this case licensee is not a risk to public safety. The licensee is licensed, and it sounded like there were some operational challenges between us as a board staff and the licensee. So I would say that my motion would be to dismiss the case.
So did they, you're saying it was, how was that notice sent out to her?
I personally sent that email out.
Okay.
I have correspondence right here from June 6th at 9:50 a.m.
Okay.
I'm sorry, July 6th, 9:50 a.m. is when I sent that email out that we were requiring the driver's license.
Okay, did she respond to it or?
No.
No, so she did. I mean, I don't know how you did it, but.
Yeah.
Right, I don't doubt you did it, but we have that 40% or 39% of incomplete establishment licenses. There's obviously some gap in how it's working that I don't think is intentional on the part of the licensee. It would be my argument there. But
everybody's trying to do a good job.
I only have one more question before we vote on that. Earlier I asked about, you know, if all of them got the licenses, and you said only one had the establishment license. Only one of them needs an establishment license, correct? Or do they all three?
Right. If they're renting, each one is renting, they should technically have their own establishment license, or they can go underneath that one and say
So, Mr. Chair, members of the board, in this case, though, we're focused solely on
well, there's Miller. There's three,
and but we're only hearing Ms. Miller's right now.
Okay.
So there are other cases on the agenda, I believe. If those individuals are appearing, we never received any.
I was just confused because they're all grouped together.
And that was a really good point.
Yep.
Really good point. All right, so where we are, we have a motion to dismiss.
We sent out the email. She never responded. And at some point she has responded and has got it called up. She has a lot.
So when she did her second payment, if there was only two payments issued, the first one is the application I worked. The second one was the one that was completed. But for her first application, what was needed was the driver's license to complete her application.
Okay, so she didn't technically pay. We didn't overcharge her. She just paid once, and it went through.
Well,
so
she paid once, and then she paid again for the second application.
For the second.
So she never replied to the first
application.
Correct.
Which is why I was out there.
Right.
Yeah.
Who paid?
It's crazy.
I have an email saying the application was accepted and complete. Back in May.
Okay.
So that's a general.
Yeah. Yeah. We're always trying to do a good job. Sometimes things just don't go perfectly. But are you satisfied if we just let this go?
Yeah. So I made a motion to dismiss the case. I just think it's no one intentionally.
I'm just going off here. Okay, so she didn't have an establishment license.
But she had paid for it.
She said, she still had to send in more information, which is part of what they were saying was the gap. But at the end of the day, my thing would be like, why did she never respond to the email? If she was sending in checks, she was worried about it. If you were that concerned about it, why did you not call in and say, hey, or answer the email and say, I'm sending my license or something? She just, we don't have it.
The licensee is saying she didn't receive the email, but then she has an email saying that her application was complete, which she does have because that is one of the general emails that go out when you make your payment. So it's confusing to the licensee when they receive an email saying that their thing is complete, and then if you didn't get an email, which I think is not an unreasonable thing, why would you assume anything was wrong is sort of the rationale for why I made that motion.
And I'm a little concerned because she claimed that she called several times and that nobody could confirm any information on the pending case.
On the pending application.
On the pending application, yeah.
You did say, you were working this case at one point, correct?
That is correct.
And did you ever receive a physical phone call or was communication only email?
So on my email, it has my personal direct line, mm-hmm. as well as she could have returned the email that I sent out, as well as the documentation that's in our payment center for our call center. So if she would have called in with her authorization number, they would have been able to pull up to see that the note was in there too.
See, that's the part that I'm talking about. If I send in a payment, I don't know what's going on. I'm going to call before I just send in another payment and go, well, and that something doesn't make sense with that to me personally. Because I'm just trying to figure out if the email was sent, she had a way to call instead of why would we dismiss it? It's,
yeah, on the other hand, she paid twice because she thought we weren't able to do it.
And it says it was complete in her email.
Yeah.
The second one said complete.
Oh, the first one did, too.
So the first
one says complete as well.
So that's the automatic generation. Yeah. When they sign their application, it just says that she signed and the application is complete, not that the process.
The process is complete.
So that's going to be confusing, too.
Yeah. So it's application completion versus issuance of license.
Right.
Or approval.
Or
right.
Approval.
And that's an ongoing challenge for licensees and for staff, which is why we have a 40% incomplete application rate, and that's the only outlier. Frank and staff have been able to bring down the time period to get licenses in every single category except for that, and that's in part due to, it sounds like from our previous presentation, having to rely on others, but also because the application process itself in its current form is a bit confusing for licensees.
Can the language be better on that application complete section?
There's a lot of things. Mr. Chair, there's a lot of items that We have clearly identified, and I have a process improvement guru that we have hired to identify those issues. Without getting into too much detail on this particular situation, we have identified this issue. We are currently stuck on this issue until such time that we move in a different direction, until we consolidate our IT systems and make it one database and one process. Right now there's two steps in applying. There's a payment step and there's an application step. And it is, I would be lying if I said it wasn't confusing. It is.
I was just going to say, based on the fact that we've had this conversation, the fact that we know staff is trying to work on it, that we know it's a confusing process, I agree, and I would second that motion. Because I know staff's working on it, and in a future point, we might be able to take a different action, but for right now, I think that's the right action, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, just looking at it instead of just dismissing it, maybe just saying a letter of concern. That way, if something pops up later on where, let's say, a year from now, we end up with the same issue, we hear the same excuse, we can't go back and just say it was dismissed. So now we can't come back and even use this as any way of saying, like, this is repetitive. It's just wiped out. That's all I'm getting.
I don't think there's any evidence to indicate that the licensee's intentions weren't to work through the process established by the board. So I don't have a concern. So I guess that's why I didn't make a motion for a letter of concern, because it sounds like the licensee has just started the process every time again, called multiple times, and tried to do her best, while staff has also tried to do their best. So I don't see any intention to raise a concern.
I support the motion as is right now. My only question remaining is that about the other two cases. And the only reason I bring those two up is because, you know, they're all at the same establishment. They're all missing an establishment license. Is there a reason behind that? Like, why couldn't
I have a response.
It's not really, you can't have a licensee comment on another licensee's reason. You know,
okay.
It's not appropriate.
Yeah. All right. So we have a motion and a second for dismissal. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Majority says pass. All right. So we're dismissing your case. We think you tried. We tried. Fell through the hole. We'll fix it. We'll do the best we can. Are you satisfied?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your time.
Nice day.
You as well.
All right. See you. On case number two, our case number 97480, I make a motion to rescind the previous motion so that we can hear this case now that we have the people that were involved.
Susan Glover, second.
We have a discussion. Hearing none.
I should say you didn't vote.
We didn't.
No, we had a motion and a second. We still need a vote.
Just open the door. We'll do that. All right. So, everyone who agrees with me, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone who agrees with me, you can go. Okay. So, we're back open. Now.
Wait, do we need to continue or did we continue the other two cases with the other
they're
two?
They're somewhere in the system.
They're...
They're somewhere
else. So now we're calling case number 97480, Pink Lotus Nails and Spa, SNT 18977, Pink Lotus Nails and Spa, LLC, and Min Nguyen, our license number 597-00037. And I do need you to stand for a second. And then, oh, Jen, and do you swear the testimony you'll give will be truthful? And then just state your name.
My name is...
Thank you. This is a corporation.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, we do have on file an LLC representation attestation for this case.
Okay. So now I'll have my lovely investigator talk to us about what's going on, and then I'll come back and ask you questions. All right. We're there. Let's go.
Good morning, Mr. Bailey, members of the board. I'm Alexandra Hill. On January 10th, 2022, I conducted an inspection of Pink Lotus Nails and Spa and spoke with the owner, Mr. Nguyen, who introduced himself as David. When inspecting the establishment storage room, I found 2 gallons of MMA, which is a prohibited substance according to our rules. Both gallons had fraudulent EMA labels on the back side. When I asked Mr. Kuhn about my findings, he stated he purchased the polymer that way and didn't realize that the labels were different. If you have any questions, I'll be happy.
The rest of the place was in what condition?
Yeah, as far as sanitation goes, it was
okay, and all the licensing were where they should be?
Yep.
All right. So, tell me about these 2 bottles of MMA. How did that happen? What's going on?
I didn't know it was the MMA. So
where did you buy them?
At the beauty supply in China.
China?
Yeah, there's a label on it.
So, I didn't realize until I found out, it's not in audit. So I told the owner of the supply, I said, hey, can I change this? He said, I don't have it, you know, kind of late. So you have to send back to the manufacturer. So I didn't use it.
Huh.
So I bought another one. So that one is still, like, not even open up.
So you changed it for the EMA?
Yes.
Okay. Did they appear to be opened or partially used or anything?
My recollection's a little fuzzy. It was back in January. They did feel relatively full. I don't know if they had been unopened or not, but they had some weight.
How did you discover they were the wrong product?
So somebody told me the label, they thought I prohibited for those some kind of liquid. So I looked at the label and said, there's something wrong here. So I didn't use
the label. Didn't look correct.
Yeah, they said the percentage of the MMA and non-MMA. So I said, this liver from the corner. I didn't use it. I still I don't remember I told her that. Okay, can you please take my account that it's two bottles. She said, I'll tell her.
Right, and she has to report it to us.
Yeah, so I bought another one.
Yeah.
home, though. I never eat it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Questions?
MMA thing, I feel like it's increased. Picked up the number of cases and in the way that salons are, not salons, supply houses are misleading licensees.
I do have a question. So you're saying that Hollywood Beauty Supply, the one in Chandler, sold you this bottle of liquid with this fraudulent label on it that clarifies it as EMA instead of MMA.
Yeah, some label, the label says some percent of the MMA, some 30%, and then 30% is the rest is something else.
Oh, well, it says 30% EMA, and EMA is the legal substance,
yeah.
Correct? So what he's saying is that this beauty supply chain sold him this product with a false label on it, and that label, when the inspector went out, she determined that it was the illegal product. So you're saying that the beauty supply sold you the bottle this way?
So I didn't know. I didn't ask him. He said legal or illegal. I just bought the bottle.
Well, I know, but what the inspector is saying is that it has a false label on it,
yeah,
and that the product is illegal inside. But you bought. This is how you bought it.
That's how it was. I didn't know, so somebody told me you better take a look at it. I did.
Yeah. And he says he discovered it before she got there. I didn't throw it away because he wanted to return it.
I don't return it yet. Mm-hmm.
How much do they charge for a bottle of that? Do you know about?
That was a long time ago.
Yeah. I've wondered about that. It's low priced or why it's dealing.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, I guess in a couple of things. It is not uncommon for us to hear that the MMA bottles have a false label on them and that they've in fact been sold that way. So that part doesn't seem and.
Right.
In working with that reporter back in May, down in Pima County, that was one of the things that we discovered, she discovered, et cetera. I think that I would agree with you, Member Flores, that we are continuing to see an increasing number of these cases. Just in my now, I think this is my 7th board meeting with all of you. Setting aside this case in particular for a moment, that there is a beginning to be a perception in the field with nail salons that if somebody pleads their case related to MMA, this board will dismiss it. That perception is there. We've seen screenshots of that in social media group posting, et cetera. And so that could potentially be a reason for why we are seeing more cases actually make it to this informal proceeding.
What's the incentive to buy this stuff?
It's cheaper.
Cheaper than EMA.
Correct.
I mean, that's what I was asking. Is
yeah.
it half the price or something?
I think that's probably a fair statement that it's about half the price from that research that we did.
Frank, I have a question. You said earlier that there have been some bottles of it being relabeled. In those instances, was it the salon owner redoing it, or are there beauty supply chains actively misleading customers?
Mr. Chair, Member Ledoux, I would actually say both. We have heard situations of both. We have also recently, I believe this investigator herself was kind of looking in, saw a label that didn't seem right, looked it up, and actually found some information out of a company in California that will actually label a bottle however you want it labeled. So you could go to them and say, yeah, I want MMA, but I want it labeled as EMA. And so I do think all of my commentary to say that this is a big issue, and
I am increasingly concerned by the amount of this that we are seeing in our salons, and particularly the fact that it's a carcinogen. And there's a link between miscarriage and women who have been in a salon with MMA. There's a number of concerns related to that, and I would close out my diatribe here with it until we turn a corner of, I would argue, enforcement of this issue. I'm not convinced that this is going to reduce.
That's right. I was asking, what's the incentive then?
So it is,
save money.
What that article and that work is, it's a cheaper liquid for folks. And I think, you know, when you start talking about, and I appreciate Member Ledoux and your question about like the supply houses and it being sold there, the reality is it's used for a lot of things. When you do research, if you Google the actual scientific team behind of MMA, which I would never even begin to try to pronounce, it's used to apply fluorine. It's used to, there's a number of things that it's used for that is safe. And so I don't know, it's an interesting dynamic. I don't know how we're going to overcome this ongoing concern related to MMA, frankly, unless this board starts to enforce it at some point. And that's, I mean, obviously that's not my call, but I do believe that is the perception at this point, and that's why we continue to see more and more of these cases coming to us month over month.
And one thing, kind of adding on to what Frank was saying, because I was new to the whole MMAD, but I know a lot of inspectors are saying that it has a totally different smell, correct? So a lot of these guys that are coming in that are saying, I didn't know. We hear that. Now we're hearing, I never opened it, but it's just there, so give me a pass because it's there and open.
Mr. Chair, Member Knox, I think the other thing that's interesting about this, too, is the way the state statute and the rule is written on this is it's the simply the presence of the product in the facility. It's not the use of the product. It's the presence of the product. So I understand that. Well, I'll just leave it at that.
Well, I appreciate that, and I really do care about the public safety, and obviously we don't want this. But I think it's really hard for our board to enforce this when it can be sold in a beauty supply. I think it's hard to prove that someone purposely purchased it because it's cheaper. I just think that the burden of proof on that is just immense, and how do we know that? And that's my concern with it. I wish the statute was a little bit clearer. I wish there was maybe some way to enforce the fact that these places should not be selling it, but I just think it's very difficult to prove that someone purchased it purposely.
What is the legal standard? Is it knowingly and purposefully possessing it, or just
And I get it. I get that, but it's hard for me to swallow that.
So, Mr. Chair, Member Flores, why don't we have, I'll have Attorney General Baskin kind of read the rule specifically related to this, just again for perspective.
Yeah. It's R410-112M, and it says prohibited hazardous substance and use of products, and an establishment licensee shall ensure. So it puts the onus on the establishment licensee that no cosmetic products, and that's to Frank's point that MMA has other purposes, containing hazardous substances banned by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration for use in cosmetic products, including liquid MMA and methylene chloride. And what it states is are on the establishment premises. So just having those banned products on the establishment premises would be a violation of the rule under the way the statute's written.
What if you're getting your chlorine?
Well, and that, this case, you bought these gallons. Was it because of the price was lower?
No, that's not the price. I said that two gallons.
Were you asking for EMA? Were you asking for anything?
I didn't ask for anything.
So how would you know to buy it? No, I agree. But when you went to the store and you bought it, what was that about? How did that happen, or what was going on?
At that time, I didn't know that it was prohibited.
Sure.
Right.
So I said, so my friend told me, better sure. Check.
So I was hoping to separate out this sort of discussion prompted by this case from this particular individual, because I don't think it's fair for us to color his case with a discussion on a broader issue. But what if, you know, there are a couple of things, not specific to your case, but just along this issue, if perhaps going forward in situations similar to this, we consider history, if there's been a dismissal in the past of an MMA-related violation.
Dismissal.
Oh, you can't get
right.
You
cannot.
Okay.
Right.
Or what if we say beginning on and do a lot of education on, January 1, 2020.
We've been giving them a disciplinary letter of concern.
Oh, is that what we have?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, so then we will have history.
Correct.
Okay. So we'll have history to go by, but then also make a concerted effort to educate every person who comes before us in this way that beginning on some specified date, maybe the start of the year, that there is no more wiggle room. The board has given this grace period, recognizing the complications of sales and supply houses, but going forward we won't. So I don't know, there's just a couple of ways, either looking at history or doing what we've been doing now with some future, we're getting more serious about this violation.
Mr. Board Chair.
I don't know. Just throwing out ideas.
Mr. Board Chair and members of the board, first time I've spoken to you, but I would just say that the very first ingredient on the label is MMA. That's how our investigators started. No matter how it's labeled on the front and the ingredients, the very first ingredient is MMA. So I think going forward in the future, I do believe establishment owners are responsible for looking for the ingredients
right.
on the label to understand that it's MMA no matter what's on the front of it.
And I would just join in and say that's specifically what your rule states.
That makes sense.
I have something related to this specific case, Mr. Chair. So I'm just concerned about these stories not aligning here. You said that you recognized that this was an illegal product, or your friend said you should double check. But the label is clearly mislabeled as the legal product, and the legal product, and the whole, that's what's concerning to me, is how did you find out that it was the illegal product when this product is labeled as the legal product? If you didn't open it, how would you know the difference?
On the label, they say that when it read, I told they didn't read. So when it read the label, it said 30% of EMS and the rest is MMA. So I called the buyer and said, hey, this is something wrong here. I need to return it. And well, that time it was COVID time. So they said, you need to send back the manufacturer.
So,
and then I was, that time, I said, okay, I go ahead buy the EMA, got the liquid to use it.
So, Frank and staff, I just want to clarify if this is common too. Is it common for a hybrid product of EMA and MMA mixture to get the label so they can market it as EMA?
Mr. Chair, Member Ledoux, I've not heard that. I am new to the industry, though, so I would have to rely on.
Inspector.
My biggest concern was just wondering why, when you found out, when you realized it was illegal, why did you keep it there instead of just getting rid of it?
I kind of kept it, and I just pulled it from
down. I'm saying, but why not get it out of the shop, take it home, take it somewhere else so that you wouldn't have the issue? That's why I'm just wondering why. I get that you want to return it.
Yeah.
But if you know that it's illegal in your shop, why would you not remove it from the shop so you don't even have to worry
about it? Well, I was about to send it to waiting for the manufacturer to send, send me the address, return the address and everything. It's a long conversation on the tech or forever to contact them at that time. So, and then the time goes, I just forgot about it. And, it's in the corner. I just didn't see it. So I go and bought the DMA bottle and I've been using that too. So
So, Toys forgot about returning to.
I don't think we should start treating these cases differently mid-meeting
right.
because of the discussion we had about a broader trend, which I do think we should address some of the issues in the broader trend. But I think from a fairness perspective for licensees and some sort of standardization of our behavior as a board, we can't start treating the case differently in mid-meeting.
I understand. Mm-hmm. Inspector, just with one more clarification. So the bottle, would you say his statements are accurate as regards to it, that it's labeled as MMA, but just in the ingredients section, but it's, then there's a label that's EMA?
Yeah, so the Hollywood Beauty Supply label that has the EMA, that was on one side. The MMA was on the back side. So I was actually fooled at first. I had pulled one of the gallons. I saw the Hollywood Beauty Supply. I said, okay, it's EMA, that's fine. Put it aside. Found the other one, saw the backside, knew it was MMA. But when I put down that other gallon, I put it down backwards, and it seemed that it had two labels.
I see. So there's two labels here. So there's one where it states clearly what it is, and then there's another one that's from a different bottle that they slapped on there.
Yeah. Well, let's deal with this case. Let's get this done so we can take care of him.
Yeah.
But we do need to deal with this, and I'm wondering if the board couldn't send a letter out to the supply house saying you're getting your clients in trouble. Mm-hmm.
Let's deal with this case, and then I'll propose something to the board.
For so, before. On this case, do we have some sort of
motion? So I would make the motion for consistency's sake that we, wait, let me go to my page. that I move that we adopt the findings of fact and conclusions of law in the investigative report, which is a motion that we've made similarly today on the same scenario.
All right, any discussion? Hearing none, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 And so for consistency's sake, recognizing that we will address this broader issue at a later time, I move that based on the findings of fact and conclusions of law, that our disciplinary action be a disciplinary letter of concern to ensure that there is a record of this in the licensee's file. But recognizing that there is an ongoing challenge with the adoption of MMA in salon.
All right,
good, Michael. Okay, any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Any opposed? We pass this unanimously. We're going to send you a letter of concern. So as a record, we do feel you're caught in this like everybody else seems to be. And we will also tell your friends that we're going to fix this and they don't want to be in the middle.
Thank you. So, Mr. Chair, members of the board, given that discussion, I think my recommendation at this time would be, I think we have a light agenda in December, if I recall correctly, or a significantly lighter agenda in December, and even much more light in January at this point. So, my recommendation is that maybe we bring an item specific for review, discussion, and possible action on MMA. We can have a public discussion about MMA, and then maybe the board at that time would come to some sort of determination of the direction that they would take future MMA cases, which can include a communication plan, which can include, you know, any number of items. Mr. Chair, I hear you mentioned something about the beauty supply part of that. I don't know what our
jurisdiction is.
Right, we have no purview there.
It might be nice to say to them, your customers are being harmed by your action.
Would it be appropriate to kind of like have some sort of conversation with the legislature in some way?
Absolutely.
To inform them?
Again, let's get this to a place where we have a concerted conversation that's just us having a conversation that's not related to a case. We can take action out of that conversation and move it forward. To be candid, I'm not from our purview and our perspective, I'm not sure that we would do anything legislatively. Because it's already in legislation that we
right.
the presence of the, yeah. that it's not allowed. Now, I think, in fairness, I think what Member Ledoux is saying is it's the supply house side of it, but again, it's not illegal to sell, and it's used in for other things. So I don't, so it is a
marketing of it, though.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That can be regulated.
I do think, though, that enforcement of this at this level is going to do more.
If we don't step up to it, then nobody's going to fix it. So let's put it on the agenda.
Do you have a preference, December? Okay.
Let's get on it.
I will be in London. I'm not calling in. Normally I would, but I will be in another conference.
Yeah, this will probably struggle on. We'll probably start through it. We'll probably do it again. So.
What is the date of the meeting, just so I know? I know you sent it to us earlier.
Third Friday of the month.
I think it's the 18th again, if I remember correctly. 16th.
Okay. All right, let's at least start on it. See if we can figure this out. No.
Yeah, let's agendize that for the hour so we can get some cohesive board standards moving forward.
Member Boozon Glover, so if you want to prepare something and provide it, we can include it in the material.
Absolutely. All right, let's go to number 11. Our case number 966600, Christina Gales. There you go. 11101579. You're on the phone, please press star 6. 966. Anyone in the group out here want to be Christina? Okay, never mind. Hey, maybe I'm bad. Might be good. You never know.
Yeah.
All right. So, again, on the phone, if you're there, Christina. Star 6, go. All right, never mind. I move case number 966600, moves to a formal hearing, or any alternative would accept the signed consent agreement previously offered by the board as well as the support case.
Second.
Motion second, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. There you go. All right, so that moves forward unanimously. Number 12. Our case number 97192, 97193, Australian Nails and Spa, S&P 184656, and SAES 19671, Donald Nguyen, owner. Donald Nguyen, you're on the phone, press star 6, Donald Nguyen. All right, I move case number 97192, 97193, move to a former hearing on the alternative. We accept a signed consent agreement previously offered by the board as resolution for the case. Motion second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
There you go. We unanimously move that forward to a formal hearing, or we accept whatever is going on. All right. Number 13. What was number 13? Was something special about it?
It might be appearing.
Okay. Our case number 97351, Sarah Alexander. License number 1130140.
Hi there, Sarah Alexander here.
Sarah, where'd you come from, buddy? All right, glad you're here.
I don't know why that was so funny.
Sarah, do you swear that you'll tell the truth in your testimony today?
Absolutely.
Girl. What's your name again?
Sarah Alexander.
Nice to be done. That's just for the record. All right, so I'm going to have my fantastic staff tell us what happened, and then we'd like you to tell us what you think happened.
Okay.
Great. Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the board. My name is Kelly Whitaker. On October 7th of 2021, I conducted an inspection of Studio Serenade Salon, located at 10401 North Scottsdale Road, Suite 103. At the time of the inspection, there was no establishment license. On August 26, 2021, respondent applied for an establishment license, but the respondent has not and not completed the application. So it was the license was not issued. On August 15th of 2022, the respondent reapplied for an establishment license, and then on September 9th, 2022, a license number SBOS 32632 was issued.
Okay. Were there any other issues with your inspection?
No, just the license.
All right. Sarah, what's going on?
All right. So, in all due respect, the website is a little outdated, so to speak. So, this is what happened. So, I went to apply for my establishment license. I should have done more due diligence with my DBA and my cosmetology license. I was unaware that I was supposed to have an establishment license. But I did go on my phone, which I was told that I can't do it on a phone or a tablet. I have to do it on a computer. So I will say I did pay for a license, some sort of license. I have no idea what I thought it was the establishment license, but I know now that it was not. So I paid for something four times, and then I finally got to a computer, and I was able to follow through with everything. And I do have my establishment license number currently up to date. So I was just having an issue with the website and finding exactly what I needed.
Okay.
It looks to me with this, they applied for a license, but it was incomplete. And then they applied again.
Was the license applied for but incomplete before, Kelly, before you went out for your?
No, she didn't apply.
Because the date there. Okay, gotcha. Okay.
She didn't apply for it before it just, I went out.
Okay.
She just didn't have a license at the time I was out.
Got it. Okay.
And it's that sweet situation too that we've seen before, although that's died down a lot. So whatever education the board's been doing has been really helpful, yeah.
And it's, everything's up to date now, right?
Correct. Everything is current right now. Yeah, a license that was issued expired 9/9 of 23.
All right. Anybody die?
I'll let someone else take motion.
Just based on how we have been handling this now and knowing that we have an establishment license confusion situation going on, I move that we dismiss it as we have other cases today.
I second that.
All right. Any discussion? We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Nay.
Case, where are you?
Aye. Sorry.
Thank you. That's all right. distractions in life. We're okay. All right. Sarah, we recognize this is your responsibility to get the license. We recognize that our staff did exactly the right thing in writing this up, but sometimes life doesn't work out. So we just missed your case. Thanks for calling. Do a good job. Don't get in trouble.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Have a good day.
All right. Bye-bye. Number 14, our case number 97477-97481. M.P. Pauline's Nail, SNT 19137, SAES 20855. M.P. Pauline's Nails Incorporated is the owner, and Michael Lee Pitkin is the director. So is anybody here from M.P. Pauline's Nails? Anybody online from M.P. Pauline's Nails?
Star
6 on mute. Yes, Star 6 on mute. That's your only way of looking like. All right, so I move the case number 97477-97481, move to a formal hearing, or in the alternative, we would accept the signed consent agreement that was previously offered by the board as a resolution for this case.
Ms. Glover, second.
So a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Unanimously, we agree this should move forward and go away.
Next case, number 15. Our case number 97521. The Neologic, SNT 19497. The Neologic LLC owner, Tone Nok Nguyen, member. 5*6, if you're on the line, anybody from Neologic? Mr. Nguyen? Hearing no response, I move that case number 97521 move to a formal hearing, or in the alternative, we accept the signed consent agreement previously offered by the board as resolution for the case.
Second.
We have a motion and a second.
All
in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Then unanimously we move case number 97521 into the formal hearing. Next case is number 97531, Latino Beauty Salon, SDOF 30258, Thomas Rodriguez owner. *6 to unmute your phone. Anybody here from the Latino Beauty Salon? Hearing no response, I move the case number 97531, move to a formal hearing, or any alternative, we accept the signed consent agreement previously offered by the board as resolution for the case.
Second.
So motion second. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing no opposition, we unanimously move case number 97531 for the rest of it. Number 17, 97590. Augustin Ramirez, license 108-00316.
Present.
Nice. So, Mr. Ramirez, do you swear the testimony you get today will be truthful?
Yes, I do.
And then state your name, please.
Augustin Ramirez.
Nicely done. I'm going to have my investigator, inspector, whichever it was, tell us what's going on here, and then we'll come back to you and ask you questions.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Good afternoon, Mr. Bagley, members of the board. My name is Helen Morlon. On April 7th of 2022, I conducted a routine visit of Augie's Real Cost Salon. At that time, after speaking with Mr. Marin, it was a salon ownership change. He was unlicensed. So the prior owner left, the salon was closed out, he took over, but there was no ownership change. So essentially the salon was unlicensed. So I educated what he needed to do. And on June 3rd, he did make payment for the salon establishment license. However, we have not received the salon application as of today. There were no sanitation violations. Everything else was fine.
Mr. Ramirez.
Yes, sir.
Have you filed your application yet?
I thought when I had made my payment, I had filled everything out and sent it. I honestly thought you guys were behind and that it was coming late. I didn't think to follow up. It was truly error on my behalf. But from this point forward, I have not.
So could you explain to me when you were going to?
I can get that done as of today. I truly honestly thought when I made my payment and sent it in, the lady that did my inspection, she told me everything how I needed to do it, and I thought I had followed everything correctly.
Okay. So you're going to have it done before the end of this day?
Yes, I will.
You know we're going to check, right?
Yes, sir.
Right,
yes, I do.
Can I ask a question? Is this one of those situations where they, and I think this may be similar to some of the other cases where if they pay, they get an email saying payment's complete, assume that means salon and application's complete, but that's not what it indicates. Is that right? Like the email he probably got for that salon?
The process is it'll tell them that the payment is confirmed, but it also states that the application will be sent to you after the payment is made. So they know that there is an application that needs to be filled out.
And Mr. Chair, members of the board, and at that time they received the additional email with that application. So yet it's two steps. And it can be, I mean, I want to be fair in saying I think it's silly. that process is silly, but the steps are there. And I would also add, you know, we are still at 21 business day turnaround time on this, and he's operating an establishment, so we find ourselves in that tricky spot of,
right, this is usually by the time they make it to us, the person has come into compliance.
Yeah. Yes.
I just want to clarify, Mr. Chair. Until they get that paper license, they can't operate at all, right?
Correct.
Yes. So he was still in violation of operating when he didn't even have a license yet.
Correct.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And
it's like operating a car without a driver's license. I got a permit, and I'm still waiting, but until that license comes, you're not supposed to drive.
And, Mr. Chair, members of the board, I would kind of point out to the dates on this situation that the board investigator was there on April 7th, and as of today, the process hasn't been completed. So just during.
Right, it's not entirely similar to the other cases we've seen.
It's similar to the case we saw last meeting, but
right.
Not today.
Yeah.
Right. But the part that I thought was similar was they pay and then they never complete the application again and just make the assumption that that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there are other issues here.
Right.
So we do send reminders for the application, advising that the application has not been signed or completed.
Yeah, no, I believe fully staff is doing their best to try to communicate to licensees, but whatever is happening, it's not working. because of any specific thing you've done.
So, Mr. Ramirez, are you working currently?
Yes.
So your business is open right now?
I am. Yes, I am.
All right. You understand our dilemma. You're working illegally, right?
I did understand that now. Yes, I do.
Are you in a salon suite or something like that?
It's just like it's a little plaza, and I'm
just
in a little corner of it, yeah.
Do you have a neighbor who has currently licensed that you can work out of their facility until you get your paper cleaned up?
Next to me is a smoke shop, and then we have a bar.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
Mr. Muir, so you technically cannot, you know, by law, cannot be able to be operating a salon until there's an establishment license.
Okay.
Although you have an active personal license, so you can work at an establishment that is licensed.
Okay.
While you wait for your license, for your establishment to be prepared and completed.
Okay. How long does that take for that to be set up?
If you get your paperwork done today, typically it's 21 days to get the paper to you. Every day you delay pushes it out.
Okay, so 21 days from today, is that correct?
As long as you do your part.
That's business days, and it's not a firm, hard deadline. It's the average.
Okay.
Well, you could count on about that, but you've got to get your part done first so the clock doesn't start.
Absolutely. I'll get that done in the next hour.
Okay,
we haven't taken any disciplinary action yet in this case, so we're educating.
Okay, thank you, and I appreciate it. The partner I had before took care of all the paperwork and everything. I'm not really good with it, and I thought since I was still under the old license, that it just kind of, since I took over, it kind of stayed, and it was just a misunderstanding on my behalf.
All right, we understand nobody's trying to be bad, but we're still stuck where we are.
So last meeting, we had a case similar to this. I think actually he at least thought he had a license from the old owner. But what did we do then? I don't remember.
I feel like we did a disciplinary letter of
and probation. I think it was
probation.
Probation
and
probation.
So I think it was. Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Let's get through the first piece because we know that it happened.
Sure. Okay. So I'd like to make a motion based on this discussion that I can't for the life of me commit this to memory. So.
Please, we adopt the findings of fact.
I move that we adopt the findings of fact and conclusions of law in the investigative report. I choose my lover second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 All right. That's all of it. So that passes unanimously.
I'm sorry. I remember those days.
Okay. So let's give him time to get going, but let's keep an eye on him. Let's do something.
Great. I think because the licensee has not taken the steps to mitigate the problem, we need to monitor and put on probation. Yeah.
So you did your letter of concern?
Probation.
Okay. Yeah, probation, and you can't operate until, yeah. Anyone else want to make that motion?
You got it.
Rona looked like she was trying to say something.
Right. You would either do an order of probation or a disciplinary letter of concern. Mm-hmm. Under an order of probation, you would, it's what I'm hearing from the board is that you shall include language that says that that respondent shall not, work or advertise, his establishment until he obtains licensure from the board.
Okay.
And if you wished, you could impose the a civil penalty in that consent agreement, and you can also ask for a re-inspection of his establishment once the license is been issued.
I think the reinspection is reasonable.
Yeah. And Mr. Chair, members of the board, I think Ms. Coleman is actually actively sending him the information that he needs to complete it today. So we certainly that will go out to him today. But again, the processing time is going to be the processing
time. Right.
Do you think 30 days is enough if he gets the stuff in? Do you feel confident?
No.
60 days.
I would say 60. Yeah. I mean, we will do it as,
sure.
as expeditiously as possible,
right.
But 30 days would be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, you're also confined by your time frame rules. And if for some reason this licensee does not meet all the requirements of that application, those will trigger those time frame rules. So, you can't anticipate that. So, you may want to make that 6 months. I mean, you can't anticipate that he will be able to meet all the requirements.
Like 90 days. I don't want to prohibit that licensee from working for 6 months.
They wouldn't be. That would be the length of the probationary period, and you can include early termination in there.
Yeah.
Because we don't know.
Sorry to interrupt, Ms. Paskin. Mr. Chair members, but I think that we actually did 6 months based on this exact conversation last month with the early termination of at the time of licensure and successful inspection. The probation would be lifted.
Correct. Right. And what that does, that allows the board to monitor, but it also incentivizes the licensee to go through the process. But they wouldn't be in violation because the probation was for a significant length of time to be able to anticipate any other issues that may come up and trigger our time frame. So that's the only.
Okay. So I move that based on the findings of fact and conclusions of law that the licensee be subject to a 6 month probationary period to come into compliance with an establishment license during which the licensee may not advertise or market services for the establishment with the option of early termination if they do come into compliance with an establishment license. However, the licensee could find employment in a licensed establishment, assuming they have an active personal license at the time.
Mr. Chair, Member Flores, did you want to? I think I thought I previously heard an inspection to occur as well. To
including a reinspection upon
licensure
of the establishment would be my motion.
Mr. Thompson.
All right. So we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, Mr. Ramirez.
Yes, sir.
Did you understand that? You can work anywhere you want to except your own place because you're not licensed.
Okay.
All right. So you need to get your stuff out. Our expert licensing people have sent you everything in your email. So all you have to do is open your email and fill in the blanks and get it done.
Okay.
Good?
Sounds good.
Then we're going to come out and inspect you and see if you did this right. And if not, we'll be talking to you again, and then we won't be nice to you again.
Yes, sir.
Well, hold on. What's the email address that you're sending from, or the name on it? Just so we can tell them to look at his spam or whatever.
It's RG_boy.
No, what email from us? Is it coming from you?
It'll be echosign@echosign.com.
Echosign?
Yes.
So the email address that the information about the establishment license will come from is one that could end up in your spam if you're not looking for it. So it's echosign@echosign.com.
echosign@echosign.com. Okay.
So be sure to check your spam or your trash or whatever email so that that doesn't get lost so that you can start this process today.
Okay.
There's a 6-month probation period that we just approved for you to come into compliance. We want you to be able to work as soon as possible.
All right.
Started.
All right, get it done, buddy.
Okay, thank you so much. You guys have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
You too.
Thank you.
Just from a board order on that process, which is something we intend to fix with a new IT system, we send an Adobe Sign form that they complete, an application that they complete, and when they click it, it does an electronic signature to us. So because that has been the existing process, that continues to be the process, we are going to be transitioning, and we're going to come into the 21st century when we get to this new IT system, and it's going to be done more by way of attestation with statements within the application that say, under penalty of perjury, the information is true and accurate. So we're going to transition away from needing those wet signatures or certified signatures on documents through the application process. And so we've already identified that issue. We have a plan for solving that issue, but it's a longer-term plan.
That's great.
Yeah. Board staff will fix it.
And I will point out, because I suspect you guys will appreciate that, it will come at moving away from those Adobe Sign forms will actually be a cost savings to us as an organization. to the tune of $1.10 per signature.
Wow.
And we do about 10,000 of those a year. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
All right. Number 18. Our case number 97601. Katie McKinstry. License 11501350. *6 if you're on the phone. You got that much patience? Maybe.
That one was on earlier.
So this was that establishment, Mr. Chair, members of the board. This was the second person in that establishment from earlier, but they're separate cases, but she's not appeared. So we'll have to go through that process.
Okay. Well, then I move that case number 97601 be moved to a formal hearing on the alternative. We accept the signed consent agreement previously offered by the board as a resolution for this case.
Second, Mr. Knott.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing no dissension, case number 97601 moves to a formal hearing.
Mr. Glover, move that you start meeting.
Bless you.
Second.
Say aye.
Aye.
That's the big
point. Yeah, now.
Hang on the phone.
No, you need a nap.
I need a nap. That's exactly it. I need a nap.
No hour and a half for a little bit.
Yeah, we got out early, but man, I feel like I ran uphill all the way and it was in the mud.